You've heard the news. Oh, no, I'm not doing the Paul Harvey thing. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Tuesday night edition, 7th day of March, 2006, of Head On. No, but you do have a pretty good idea of where we're going tonight. It's, last night was mean people. We got a lot of mean people in power in America anymore, don't we? We certainly do. But before we do anything else, I have something for you. Stand by. Got it right here. Yeah. Through the stack. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Attention, 7th Fleet, Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, NSA, Pentagon, White House, and all Americans who care about anything. Explosive revelations, not suitable for children. Today, at 1600 hours, agents of the world security and intelligence apparatus disclose that Barry Bonds, yes, the baseball Barry Bonds, has used steroids to enhance his playing ability, puff up his head, and shrink his penis. This is a rush transcript. President Bush will address the nation tonight at 2,000 hours. Homeland Security has gone to full red alert. Stay tuned to local radio station for more details. This is not a test. FEMA has set up emergency shelters for distraught baseball fans. Also, a toll-free line, 1-800-CRY-BOND, has been established to provide psychiatric counseling. Bonds has fled the country and is at an undisclosed location. Couldn't resist. Got that from our buddy Larry up in Cannonsburg, PA. And it just so beautifully highlights the stupidity of the news. Now, I am looking at CNN's website even as we speak. Now, they're, you know, and you've probably been there. You know what it looks like. Exclusive Bonds bombshell book details slugger steroid use. And then over here to the right in little itsy bitsy print. Cheney, we will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Now, you tell me, which one is bigger news? We talked about the saber rattling last night. We talked about this business of Iran's, the people telling, who was it, Brian Ross and Jill Racknell or whatever, Iran is sending camel loads of IEDs across the border. That's as may be, but, you know, the Iraqis are doing pretty well with the ones they've been making by themselves, aren't they? Yes, they are. But this is all about ginning up the casus belli, the cause of war. Now, this the other story? Dick Cheney? Yeah. Vice President, this is from the Associated Press, Dick Cheney said Tuesday that Iran will not be allowed to have a nuclear weapon and warned that, quote, the United States is keeping all options on the table in addressing the irresponsible conduct of the regime. He said the Iranian government continues to defy the world with its nuclear ambitions. The Iranian regime needs to know that if it stays on its present course, the international community is prepared to impose meaningful consequences. I personally am prepared to go to Iran and shoot every last Iranian in the face with my 28-guided shotgun. Okay, the last part wasn't true. But that's, you do realize that is serious stuff. That's terrifying stuff. That's sit butt bolt upright in bed at 3 a.m. with the bullet sweat coming out of your forehead stuff. When you hear a guy who willingly shoots people in the face say things like, the United States is keeping all options on the table in addressing the irresponsible conduct of the regime, you know what that's shorthand for, don't you? Sure you do. All options on the table means nukes. Because we know from past practice that this administration would like nothing better, and they are in the process of developing so-called battlefield tactical nukes. You know, little itsy-bitsy nuclear bombs. Yeah, no kidding. So, Barry Bonds, who cares? I read the story. I mean, I'm a baseball fan. I'm gonna read this kind of stuff. But it's not what leads the daggum news. Barry Bonds, you choose. Barry Bonds uses steroids, or Dick Cheney says it's okay to nuke Iran. Because that's what he said. All options will remain on the table. Well, that's not true. He's lying again. He's just flat out lying again. All options aren't remaining on the table. Our military option is off the table because we don't have a military that could fight back Iran if Iran sent two brigades across the Iraqi border. We don't. That's not a slur on our military. We just don't have the dudes. We have wasted the entire American military infrastructure trying to hold down a country that never fired a shot in anger at us. It astonishes me. Impose meaningful consequences. 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 Where have I heard about consequences before? Oh, yeah. Oh, wasn't that Resolution 1441? That talked about consequences for Iraq not disarming when they didn't have any arms to dis? Yeah, that was Resolution 1441, wasn't it? And wasn't it in the State of the Union speech that Dear Leader gave in January of 2003 that he said, "And now I have a personal message for the people of Iraq. We love you. We love your oil. And we don't want to hurt you, but we might have to." Wasn't that January of 2003? Aren't we almost smack dab up on top of the third anniversary of George's war on Iraq? And wasn't it in the State of the Union speech in January? Hell, it was on my birthday. I should remember. January 2006, that he said, "And now I have a message for the people of Iran. We love you Iranicans." Didn't he do that? Didn't your blood run freaking cold when you heard, "I have a message for the people of Iranistan"? Didn't it just make your hand go to your head? Oh, no, he's going to kill them too. Now, I remember before the start of the Iraq War, there were some of those sissy centrist Democrats. Some of those Democrats that won't take their own side in a fight. And they said, "Well, we can criticize the war up until it begins, but after it begins, we have to support the troops." You know, that struck me then. I said it then, and I'll say it now. That saying something like that is saying, "I object to Hitler's willingness to bake people in the ovens, but once the oven gets hot, we have to stand behind our leader." Yeah, I know. It's another Bush Hitler. It's another Bush Hitler comparison. Don't blame me. It fits. Okay, it just happens to fit. So all of that is on the table for tonight. Yes. All possible stories are on the table for tonight. Yes. You know, just like Dick Cheney. So we've got that. But coming up in the next segment, we have a guest coming in, and I think you're going to find this very, very interesting. You know, we know about depleted uranium in Iraq. What if I told you that stuff equally as nasty was being pumped into you every minute of every day? What if I told you that? What if it was true? This is Head On. You know me. I'm the guy who deals in facts. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Just gonna call. You can hear it in the broadcast on your the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
If you missed last Sunday's All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch, here's some highlights. You know, stuff like that we hear about that sickens us, or that creates the kind of attitude in our thinking that is just like, we can't believe that people would actually do this. The reason why we think that is because we are basically good people and we want to help other people. We don't want to hurt other people. We want to help other people. Now, speaking for myself, this week I plan to do something to go out and help someone else. And I would strongly encourage that you do the same thing, because the only way that we're going to be able to turn this world around and to change anything is we've got to create the kind of world that we want to live in. And that means that instead of fussing about how bad things are, we've got to go out and do something good to turn it around. And if doing that something good means going and working on a Habitat house, if that's what you want to do, then by all means, please go do it. If doing something good means going down to the local homeless shelter and feeding the folks there, if doing something good means, you know, volunteering your time with some kids or going to the hospital and reading to cancer patients or whatever it might be, that's fine. But do it. Because that, by doing that, that's how we create the world that we want. That's how we create the world that we want. Join me every Sunday as we talk about how to make this world a better place. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. That's allthingsreconsidered.org, a proud member of the Head On Radio Network.
A liberal light in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 18 and a half minutes after the hour. On the phone with us right now, joining us from California, is Bill Walker. Bill is a part of the Environmental Working Group. Are you with us, Bill?
I am, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I read this press release from the EWG, and I was horrified, to say the least. I'd read that you basically are confirming a lot of what we had feared about perchlorate in us.
Well, there's been an awful lot of research into this issue in the last few years of toxic rocket fuel. That's basically what perchlorate is. It is the explosive ingredient in solid rocket fuel that first began showing up in water supplies in communities that had either a large military base or a defense plant, and the stuff had leaked into the water. And then we started finding out that it was also, because it was getting into the water that was being used to irrigate crops, it was showing up in produce. Produce or the grains that were being fed to cows, meant that it was then starting to show up in cow's milk, and, then it started showing up in human milk. And, basically all of this evidence has been mounting while the White House has been sort of sitting by and stalling the issue one way or another, not taking prompt action on perchlorate, even though a couple of states, California and Massachusetts, have set safety standards restricting it to very, very low levels. There's still no national standard. Now we find that the White House is preventing the release of a very, very important report by the Centers for Disease Control down in Atlanta, which surveyed more than 2,000 Americans' blood and found that perchlorate is in most of us at levels that are very, very close to what is considered a safe limit.
What does, as background, Bill, what does perchlorate do to a human being?
Perchlorate is a thyroid toxin. It attacks the thyroid gland and prevents it from functioning properly. Now, many of us may say, well, I have an aunt or an uncle who has thyroid problem. That doesn't sound so serious. But it's very, very, what is not so serious in adults can be very, very serious in infants and small children. By attacking the thyroid gland during crucial periods of development, both in the womb and in early childhood, perchlorate can prevent a child's motor skills or IQ from developing properly. And this, of course, is according to laboratory tests on animals. But nonetheless, what has been found by scientists working on this at the EPA and in some of those states that I mentioned that have moved to take this issue seriously is that very small doses at the wrong time can have a profound effect on the child's future health and development.
And when we talk about perchlorate, and I mean, you've made it clear it's in all of us. It's gotten through the produce stream, the food stream, whether be it grains, lettuce,
mm-hmm.
beef, milk.
Right.
There have been studies, have there not, that even where they tested breast milk from nursing mothers, have there not?
We actually did those tests and found perchlorate was in the breast milk of nursing mothers, and it's just one more way that it's being passed on, that toxic chemicals are being passed on to kids either in the womb because if it's in the breast milk, it's also in the umbilical cord blood,
right.
Or after birth. It was just not more than a couple of years ago that we basically thought the perchlorate concern was confined to communities that had a known contamination of perchlorate in their drinking water.
Like a Marshall Space Flight Center, Redstone Arsenal, Huntsville, Alabama, that kind of thing?
That's correct. And there was very, very heavy contamination of out here in California and other sites in the Southwest that had a high concentration of either defense plants or military bases where a lot of this work on rocketry went on. But what we started finding a few years ago, and the FDA tests have confirmed this, was that it was indeed getting into the food supply in the ways that you mentioned. The Centers for Disease Control down in Atlanta did a preliminary study last year where they tested a number of their employees, I think something like 60, and they found perchlorate was in the urine of all of these employees, and that's even though perchlorate in the drinking water of Atlanta is almost infinitesimal. So they were going to do a follow-up where they go to this large blood bank of blood samples that they keep on hand for tracking toxic chemicals in our blood. And they tested more than 2,000 samples. And we don't know the exact numbers yet, but we know that a majority of the samples, at least according to this report in Risk Policy Report, which is an independent investigative newsletter, majority of those samples showed levels of perchlorate at the levels or near the levels that the EPA says could be harmful. And that's particularly worrisome because that level that the EPA says is harmful, most everybody concedes it's far above the level that's really needed to protect people. The EPA's recommended limit for cleaning up perchlorate site is something like 5 or 6 times higher than the amount that the state of California allows in a glass of drinking water.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, we're very progressive on this program, and we're very closely attuned to what the right wing and the corporatists tend to say about things. Is there an argument out there that, well, you know, perchlorate occurs naturally because there's this, that, or the other in the soil, and it just degenerates into perchlorate?
Well, there is some natural occurrence of perchlorate in the soil, but the levels that respected scientists at academic institutions, government institutions, the last few years have been finding just simply couldn't come from natural background levels, or as some people have advanced, from fertilizer that may contain trace levels of perchlorate. What's driving this is that the Pentagon and their big defense contractors like Lockheed Martin and those kind of people.
I think of Morton Thiokol in Utah.
Absolutely, absolutely. They have billions of dollars at stake here in having to clean the mess up that they made for contamination of drinking water supplies and now seeing the food supply as well. And they've been conducting their own pseudoscience and going around trying to confuse the issue and saying that levels of perchlorate as high as 200 parts per billion are going to be safe for people, whereas, as I said, the state of Massachusetts had said it's one part per billion, and the state of California says six parts per billion.
Holy magic.
They're also trying to confuse the issue by saying that it's safe for most adults, which is something that we've never really contested. The populations that are seriously at risk here are infants and children, and, of course, women of childbearing age.
And, frankly, infants and children who are afflicted with this stuff run a somewhat lesser likelihood of making it to that state where it's safe to, you know, where it's safe for adults.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, the sort of old-fashioned notion that the defenders of toxic chemicals put out there, that the so-called dose makes the poison, may in some cases be true for you and me, but what we're finding as we do more research into the way that toxic chemicals can affect childhood development is that a very small amount of the wrong thing at the right time can have a profound effect.
What about? Have there been any studies, Bill, in terms of, we're talking about the isolated cause and effect relationship of perchlorate on children and infants. What about the rest of the perchlorate in combination with the rest of the toxic soup that we appear to be feeding our kids? You know, mercury from coal-fired power plants, the autism boom that took place probably as a result of thimerosal, a mercury-based preservative in vaccines. It seems that we are bombarding the next generation. Is there any way of, are we just dooming our kids to God only knows what down the road?
Even the Environmental Working Group would probably not use language as strong as you just did, Bob, but I'm glad somebody's saying it. We are really conducting a vast and really macabre experiment on our children. These chemicals that are showing up in people's bodies, in children's bodies, whether it's perchlorate, whether it's mercury, whether it's any of the other things that you named, these just were not in the bodies of my grandfather and your grandfather. Most of this stuff was developed post-World War II. A lot of it came out of the military-industrial complex. And basically, these levels of these chemicals are building up in people worldwide. And it's basically a roll of the dice to see what the effect is going to be on the next generation's health. We've done a series of studies where we've looked at the blood of adults and also the umbilical cord blood of newborns, and found that children come into this world with an average of more than 200 chemicals already in them. And for all of the debate about what level of a chemical is safe and what level is unsafe and should the government do this and the government do that, the American people are standing up and saying pretty loudly that, you know what, all that debate's beside the point. I don't want this stuff in my blood.
Right.
This is rocket fuel. You're invading my body. You're trespassing on my body, and I don't want your product in my blood.
Well, I find it somewhat amazing, Bill, that we've got a chief executive out there who stands up in speeches and says, you know, we've got to teach children more math and science, and at the same time says, you know, we can't do stem cell research, but is supported by companies that willingly, and I mean, this is a case of willful, isn't it? Put this stuff into our food supply, our water supply, into the general circulation of our lives, and yet is there a treatment for it? I mean, what do you look for in your kid?
Well, I mean, the sort of things, the combination of chemicals that you're talking about, it's very hard to isolate the effects of any one of them and say that this is causing a child's, poor development or a disease in an adult or something like that. That's one of the reasons why the current regulatory system is stacked in favor of the companies that make these things. It's very, very hard to trace an individual illness back to an individual contamination. But there is no doubt that overall these are levels of toxins that are building up in our body that our bodies were not designed to handle. And the apologists on the other side point to studies saying that, you know, people are living longer and we're healthier and so forth. But at the same time, the number and variety of cancers and other problems that could possibly be traced to toxic chemicals in our environment and our bodies is soaring, as you mentioned.
Well, it did sadden me. I got up this morning and I read the news, the sad news that Dana Reeves, widow of Christopher Reeve, 44 years old, passed away of lung cancer. This is a woman who had never been in the same room with a cigarette, let alone been a smoker.
Wow.
We have questions like that that have to be answered, Bill. And you know, you talk about the cleanup effort. Heavenly Days, how do you begin to clean this up?
Well, you know, getting it out of people's bodies, that's going to really be very difficult because we don't know much about how perchlorate is metabolized or how it's eliminated from the body. In terms of cleaning up the water supply, which eventually affects the food supply, there is technology available. It's expensive. A lot of cities out here in California, Nevada, Arizona that have serious perchlorate problems in their drinking water are having to spend millions and millions of dollars on expensive treatment, and they're basically locked in a battle with the Pentagon to try and get the federal government to shake loose funding for this treatment rather than having to endure the cost themselves and pass it on to their citizens.
Well, this whole report, like I said, I remember the rocket fuel in lettuce and breast milk study a couple of years ago, and I was horrified by that. And then I find out that the White House is from your current report, that they're sitting on this information. What can, you know, we sit here in this radio program, and we cuss and discuss and carry on and fume. But when it comes down to rubber meat in the road and feet on the street, what can people do about this?
Well, you know, I think that basically, I mean, I hate to say this because it sounds cynical, and I want to urge people to stay involved and stay engaged. But, you know, we just are seeing an administration that really is recalcitrant in adopting these in trying to protect the American people from threats in their water and threats in their food supply. There's so many brilliant scientists at places like EPA and the Centers for Disease Control that keep trying to go about and do their work, and they're being blocked by the political appointees above them, the same kind of people who believe that, you know, evolution and global warming are theories. But there is hope, I believe, at the state level. Just as you've said, just as I've mentioned, a number of states have sharply disagreed with the lack of national standards on perchlorate and are setting their own standards. There's pretty much a pretty big deal showdown over a sort of related issue tomorrow in the House of Representatives when they vote on this so-called Food Safety Act, which would prevent the states from issuing regulations on things like mercury in fish or lead in candy that are more strict than the federal government's regulations. And the supposed idea behind this is to make the laws uniform across the whole country. But what it really does is mean that the federal government, which so many times goes for the lowest common denominator in these types of laws and regulations, that'll be the law of the land. California won't have the right to set a law that says supermarkets have to warn consumers about mercury in their tuna, or that water suppliers have to warn customers about perchlorate in their drinking water. They're basically trying to preempt the ability of the states to take action to protect their citizens when they don't believe that the federal government is doing a good job.
Yeah, by virtue of the federal doctrine of supersession, that anything
right.
that Congress decides that it wants to take control of, they
right.
can take away from the states. So if states want to do something about perchlorate, they kind of got to get on the stick, don't they?
That's right. That's right. I don't believe the law that's going to be considered tomorrow on the House directly would relate to perchlorate in drinking water, because the bill that's being considered in the House would only deal with food products. But there are many, many food products out there that we know have contaminants in them, and a number of states have decided to take action against them in the absence of federal government regulations. And now the Republicans in the House are trying to push through this measure at the behest of the large food processors like Coca-Cola and Kraft,
sure,
that would take away the rights of the states to do that.
Well, I've kept you longer than I asked you to stay in the first place, but I'm fascinated with this conversation, Bill. Let me ask you one last thing.
Uh-huh.
If a parent out there is seeing behavior or developmental issues in a child, is it reasonable or is it reasonably possible to get tested for this kind of thing in a child?
Well, unfortunately, right now testing is very, very expensive for individuals to try and find out what their chemical body burden is. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars for each person, and that's why most of the studies that have been done on this have concentrated on only a few samples of people. What we would recommend that people do, what parents do, if they can. If they have the means to do it and they can afford it, is try to switch to organic food to avoid these toxins in their children. Watch out for things like mercury in seafood. The effects of mercury poisoning can basically be reversed in just a few weeks of changing the diet. So at this point, there are things that parents can do to try and make sure that their families eat safer in the food supply. But our larger point is that this sort of basic protection for your family shouldn't be something that's left on the shoulders of the individual. This is why we have food safety laws. This is why we have a Food and Drug Administration. The government should be the ones protecting us from these threats.
Because we are the government.
We are. That's right.
Bill, thank you very, very kindly for joining us.
Thank you, Bob.
I wish you the best. I hope you'll keep us updated on your fight.
Sure will.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Bill Walker from the Environmental Working Group. Information like that just makes me want to bang my head into a wall. It costs tens of thousands of dollars to test for something like perchlorate in your child's body. And, of course, an insurance company would say, what insurance companies are trained to say, well, we don't pay. And you don't know if it's the mercury, you don't know if it's the manganese, you don't know if it's the magnesium, you don't know if it's the perchlorate. Rocket fuel, never mind the fun chemistry word, boys and girls, rocket fuel. Anybody pregnant in the crowd? Ladies? Don't eat the seafood. Leave the lettuce off the sub. Stay away from the... Jesus, I don't know. What? Drink Ensure for the next 9 months? I don't know. I don't freaking know.
No, because it'll damage your
liver. I'm stymied. How do you march on this? You know, who do you protest? You know, that's the whole point of this, is that this gang, and Bill alluded to it, this gang of people that says, well, evolution is a theory, and the Big Bang is a theory, and chemistry is a theory, and science is a theory. Actually, when you get all down to it, it's magic. It's magic, and perchlorate's magic. Rocket fuel is magic. And it's the Wernher von Braun thing, you know, the rocket goes up, who cares where it goes down, it's not my concern, says Wernher von Braun. I just want to kick something. But then I'd bust my toe and the perchlorate in my body would probably, I'd poison, who knows? It's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating when you contemplate, what was the phrase Bill Walker used? The chemical burden. Boy, there's a $10 phrase. The chemical burden in your body. Who knows? Who knows? Like I said, depleted uranium in Iraq. It was done in your name. It was done in my name. It was done in our name. We haven't stopped it. We haven't made it stop. We haven't put 10 million people in front of the White House and the Capitol saying, stop it now. And rocket fuel. I mean, I get all touchy-feely about the whole infancy thing and rocket fuel in mother's milk.
And check the hair care products, too.
Rocket fuel in mother's milk. The single most, possibly one of the single most precious events on planet Earth. A mother feeding her infant child from her own body. And she's poisoning her baby. Why can't Johnny read so good? Why can't Johnny run like, well, wait a minute, the other children can't run too well either. They're poisoned too. Does this get under your skin? Oh, that's a bad choice of words. Who's the black hat in this? Well, the black hat in this is the White House Office of... Oh, God, it just makes you laugh to say White House and science and technology in the same phrase. No, it's the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. And they're putting the screws to the Centers for Disease Control to keep the CDC from letting loose of this study of the human blood samples. Thousands of them. An EPA source told the newsletter that the CDC has found levels of perchlorate that, quote, leave no margin of safety for the public compared to EPA's current risk limit. Okay? Now, Massachusetts says one part per billion in a glass of water. California says six parts per billion in a glass of water. The federal government says 200 parts per billion in a glass of water. And let me go back to that. An EPA source told the newsletter that CDC has found levels of perchlorate that, quote, leave no margin of safety for the public compared to EPA's current risk limit. You know, the 200 parts per billion thing. In other words, that's kind of where you are. That's where I am. That's where we are. There is no margin of safety. A little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. 200 parts per billion. And, you know, the industry goons, the guys in the fat dudes, the doughy, pasty-faced dudes who talk like this. Well, national security requires that little babies suckle perchlorate out of their mother's breasts, because otherwise the commies will get us, and vote Republican. Those guys. See, this is where the mean streak comes out in me. Oh, there's no proof that perchlorate is dangerous to the adult individual. Cool, Mr. Rocket Fuel Executive. Here's a nice glass full. Drink it down, baby. It does no harm in the human adult body. Have a big swig. No, see the.
Oh, that's you're being very hateful there, Mr. Kincaid.
No. If it's good enough for some poor little baby in Georgia, or some little baby in Arizona, or some little baby in New Mexico, or some little baby in Utah, even Utah or Nevada. You know what, Mr. Rocket Fuel Executive, Sunshine, it's good enough for you. Drink up. This moment of meanness brought to you by Rocket Fuel. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's Grace, We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, you know, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
Worked the shoe
we're
leather
a nice
group.
Little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I've got this time on my hands. You are the one to abuse. Yes, I'm.
It's Oxycontin Free Radio. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, so now it's your turn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Seriously, your turn. 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Perchlorate. Do you chase it with 7-Up or Coca-Cola? I don't know. Rocket fuel. Well, yeah, Agnes is a hardcore. She chases hers with a shot of gasoline. coming up on 18 minutes, no, 12 minutes before the hour. See, I got perchlorate. It's in my brain. I can't read a freaking clock. But no, your thoughts. What do you do with an administration that is so cotton picking callous that it doesn't care what goes into our bodies as long as it makes their buddies a little bit more. Oh, what little bit? A little bit my left hind foot that makes them millions or billions of dollars. I mean, do you realize through the tax structure, sunshine, you paid them to poison you? I mean, this is like some sort of twisted Lucretia Borgia scenario. This is where we are. We are paying our poisoners. I don't like it. I don't approve of it. I want a government that is, by God, as moral as I am. I'm not touting my morals, but you know, I just make it a point not to go poisoning people. Is that too much? I don't want to poison anybody. I don't want to shoot anybody. I don't want to bomb anybody. I don't want to till depleted uranium into their daggum soil. I want to live and let live. You know, if the Iranians are stupid enough to want nuclear fission power in their country, well, it's not my problem, really. They're dumber than a bag of hammers for doing it. But it's not, you know, it's... And there's no proof they're going to build a nuclear weapon. But, you know, that's okay. We'll drop a nuclear weapon on Iran, and, you know, that goes up in the atmosphere, and the prevailing winds, and the next thing, you know, it's the, you know, the little Geiger counters in Idaho are going clack, 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 clack. And the Idaho, and you know, the Idaho senators are now, they need to vote Republican. Ooh! Let's go to the phones. CB is with us from California. Hey, CB, how you doing? You're Head On.
Oh, hello. you and I are going to make a really great pair on the radio tonight. Screaming at the top of our lungs.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
Oh, well, I just spent, you know, most of last evening trying to get medical attention. And
you okay?
Well, I think the thing that has saved me, that's keeping me upright, is they made me so angry that now I can function a little. That, oh, God.
I know.
Well, it turns out I just moved to a county where there's a severe shortage of doctors. So I walk into the urgent care clinic yesterday and tell them my surgical scar is just opened up and let out all kinds of god-awful stuff. I think I've got a bad infection. And they said, oh, okay. I sat out there on these rock-hard chairs for almost 2 hours before they called me in. And a nurse practitioner comes up and says, oh, I can't deal with this. You have to go to the emergency room. I have to sign my name 50 times to be able to get out of there and go to the emergency room. So I go to the emergency room. And they fairly quickly get me on a gurney in a little room where I proceed to have, I didn't know it at the time, I guess I do now, a panic attack.
Oh, aren't they fun?
No!
No!
Yeah, well, my legs wouldn't work, my arms wouldn't work, I had no idea what was happening.
And
I
you,
was
this
freaking
is...
out, and there were about 8 medical professionals no further than 10 feet away from me. You know, telling each other jokes and blah, blah, blah. You know, watching this old bat going through this palsied freakout on the gurney. A doctor came up, poked me in the neck one time, and walked away. About 45 minutes later, I got a prescription and was told to go to a pharmacy to fill it. So I wobbled out of the hospital and went to
Poor baby!
The pharmacies were all closed!
They couldn't. No, that's what Angus said. They couldn't even front you up with a night's dose.
Right, exactly. I was expecting they'd at least give me a shot while I was in there because, I mean, I was obviously infected and, you know, no, they didn't do that. And they didn't take a culture of the, you know, Jesus, to find out what is infecting me. He just gave me some broad, what is it, Septra, some broad...
Broad spectrum.
Broad spectrum antibiotic, which I bet you anything will just sort of slow it up a little bit, and it'll come raging back. I called my old doctor, who was 300 miles away, to tell her to leave a message for her that I'm still her patient. She thought she got rid of me, but I got to go back to her. And I got a message on my box after I got home from getting these stupid pills this morning, asking, okay, did they take a culture and what did they prescribe? And so I even knew what they were supposed to do, but here's my doctor calling to find out if they did what they were supposed to.
She knew
and
they didn't.
The answer is no. So, you know, I was just thinking, well, you know, the one good thing we've got is California still has pretty good medical care for people. Well,
no, you don't.
I guess not. We're going down the...
Well, I mean, you would have been, I mean, in the middle of the panic attack and everything, and I've been through those. So, I mean, please, I do understand. You know, you look at something, you know, this, okay, I'm checking out. I'm dying. This is it. It's over.
Your arms and legs go all numb and cease to work, and you're...
Yeah, and your blood pressure goes up to about Avogadro's number over at Google, and your heart feels like it's running out of your chest, and your hair follicles are marching back, hair's jumping in and out of your hair follicles on your scalp, and the sweat breaks out, and yeah, and you...
And the epileptic herky-jerkies, the whole...
Oh,
my God, I had no... I thought that I'd gotten to the hospital just in time for, you know, that my spinal canal had, you know, gotten infected, and I was going into some sort of, you know, ICU.
Oh, yeah, I had my first one, and I looked at Agnes and said, well, honey, it's been fun.
Oh, God, I
guess this is where, you know, check out times before 2 o'clock, apparently.
Well, I guess everybody in the emergency room knew I was having a panic attack, but I really would have appreciated if somebody would have mentioned it or come over and held my hand or...
Yeah, because
something.
If you... that's part and parcel of the process. Is you have to be able to a certain extent, even though it seems impossible, you have to be able to intellectualize them a little bit.
And I'm really good at that sort of thing.
Yes, you are.
Know, somebody would have said, actually, when somebody finally did tell me that that was what was happening, I settled down pretty well because my brain goes, oh, okay, you know, a panic attack is just, it's baseless. There's no reason for it. And the minute you're head starts thinking that, then your body stops being so crazy.
Yeah, right, because, you know, you've just cranked a big boatload of adrenaline into your system, and that takes a little while wearing off.
Well, you know, I feel sort of ridiculous on the one hand, but it's on the same token, I'm so mad at them for their undoctorliness around there that... You know, it's a good thing I'm so sick because I'd have gotten over to the gun shop next. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to...
Oh, you know, I mean, you know, I feel bad making the reference, but I halfway expect the next thing you tell me is that the doctors were wearing grass skirts and had bones in their noses.
Just
but about, that would have been an improvement.
Just about. I swear, I just emailed my mother about this whole thing, and I just told her outright that if this infection gets worse now because I'm taking the wrong thing, I'm going to have the doctor arrested. I'm calling the cops on him.
Yeah, at least make him a little bit... And,
now, you know, that was criminal negligence. That, you know, because I told them everything that was going on, and, you know, I mean...
I know.
And
I know.
Considering that this is, you know, on the heels of a surgery, and that it's taken so long for it to crop up like this and make me so sick, it's probably not just your
garden variety
infection. It's probably in around my spine. I hope Rick's not listening. He doesn't need to get any more worried.
Well, no, we'll all kind of, you know, take care of the good karma for each other or whatever, but. We care about one another. We're not a bunch of soulless, you know, the other side.
Yeah. Well, I also emailed Rick that, you know, if I've got to suffer, fine. That I don't mind suffering if nobody else has to suffer.
Yeah, but
you know, if I'm suffering so that nobody else has to suffer, then I will take it stoically and like a man.
But that's not how it's going to work these
days.
But
that's not how it's working, clearly, so now I'm going postal.
Well, get you know, look, you know, after you see the doctor 300 miles away, see, you know, I've got a pretty good idea where you're headed. I think there's some pretty good plaintiff's lawyers in that same town.
Oh, yes.
I'd talk to one.
I used to work for defense lawyers, the big ugly defense lawyers.
Oh,
so
dear.
I can... They'll all know the best plaintiff lawyers to go to.
I'll tell you what, CB, let me put you on hold through the news and come back to you right after, all right?
Okay.
All right, thanks. And stick around. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch. Bush uses Air Force One as absentee ballot. President George W. Bush traveled to Crawford, Texas today to vote in the Texas Republican primary. Some suspect that presidential aides forgot to get an absentee ballot for the president. The president's representative in Congress currently is Chet Edwards, a Democrat. In Rome, Italy today, a U.S. soldier's sentence for rape was lessened because his tour of duty in Iraq, quote, made him less sensitive to the suffering of others, unquote. James Michael Brown, a U.S. Army paratrooper from Oregon, was convicted of beating and handcuffing a Nigerian woman, raping her repeatedly before abandoning her to wander the streets of Vicenza, Italy. Indicted Representative Tom DeLay will spend this evening at a fundraiser hosted by two D.C. area lobbyists, while waiting for primary results from the Texas primary. DeLay is awaiting trial in Texas for money laundering charges. According to insiders, Air America Radio may lose its flagship station in New York, WLIB.
Asked about this, an Air America spokesperson said, quote, "It's business as usual," unquote. Women's rights in Iraq have receded since the fall of Saddam in 2003. The number of women attacked for not wearing headscarves has tripled since the invasion by the U.S. 3 years ago. Women's Rights Association spokeswoman Mayada Zuhair said, quote, "Women are being killed because they don't wear headscarves and veils," unquote. Iran, recently under pressure from the U.S. regarding its nuclear program despite efforts by that country to negotiate, is again offering to suspend full-scale uranium enrichment for up to 2 years. The nation does not want to see a U.N. Security Council action, according to a top diplomat. Despite Iran's offer, Vice President Dick Cheney uses strong rhetoric, saying Iran faces, quote, "meaningful consequences," unquote, if it continues nuclear activities. This is news from the Horn, Head On Radio Network News.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Not content with normal channels, Walmart executives turn to right-wing bloggers to get their message out. According to today's New York Times, bloggers are being fed exclusive news, are being requested to run certain topics, and are even being invited to the corporate headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas. Despite his own department's misgivings about the Dubai Ports World deal and over 75% of Americans, Homeland Security Department Secretary Michael Chertoff said, quote, "This actually gives us a better opportunity to raise the baseline of security, first with this set of terminal operators, but eventually, hopefully, unless Congress says you can't have foreign companies own or run terminal operations, we'll be able to raise the level for all of them too," unquote. The U.S. Marines are still hunting Vietnam-era deserters. Since 2005, over 33 deserters have been caught. Despite amnesty in 1974 and pardons in 1977, many deserters never came forward. Ivory John Webb, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy whose videotaped shooting of an unarmed Iraq War veteran caused a nationwide furor, will be charged with attempted manslaughter, authorities said on Tuesday. Ivory John Webb was taped in January shooting Elio Carrion after a car chase in Chino in San Bernardino County, about 45 miles east of Los Angeles. The car crashed, and Carrion, who was a passenger, is seen apparently obeying the officer's commands to get up from the ground when Webb shot him 3 times. Carrion, 21, an Air Force security officer who had recently returned from Iraq, is recovering from wounds to the chest, shoulder, and thigh. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
We are in hour two now, 4 minutes past the hour. Now, you know the phone number. It's 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Well, I go through that like I'm in a hurry. 877-443-2366. So much stuff there in Bruce's newscast that we should probably babble about a little bit. Right now, however, we are in the midst of, discussions of the backward march, the retreat of medical science in America with our friend CB from Northern California. Hey, CB, you still there?
I'm still here.
Yay.
Yay.
you're describing there, you thought you still had a medical system left in California. As long as California remains part of these 50 states and is liable to the depredations of Republican politics, all those assumptions kind of have to go out the window, don't they?
Yeah. You know, we just found out this afternoon about the they've reached an accommodation for the wiretapping. I'm sure they're going to reach an accommodation for the Dubai deal. I'm sorry. I think what's happening is all the Republican legislators are cut off the big money train if they displease the administration.
Well, they've been told expressly that. Karl Rove has had, you know, called them in and had, you know, the sort of foot of the cross speech with them, and they know.
Yeah. So, but then I'm still going, what explains it for the Democrats? What explains it? And I keep coming back to, I mean, I don't care how lazy, self-important, whatever, you know, how pusillanimous you are. If you're a Democrat, senator or representative, there is just too much that's gone by without, worse than without kicking, you know, they've just gone along with it without raising any kind of a fuss. They've got guns held to their heads.
Well, I think there is a certain amount of that, CB, that is absolutely true. But please bear in mind that these people are listening to the folks who run things like the Democratic Leadership Council, CB, and what they're being told by their Democratic strategists. What they're being told is, you know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to stand for anything. All you have to do is sit by and wait for the Republicans to collapse.
But surely these people have some vestige of an IQ or an EQ.
No.
I mean, don't they realize we just sit there that how many of us are going to die?
No. Well, no. They don't. They don't care. They don't know. You know, they live in a place. I mean, I you know, they say that the air's kind of thin in Denver. I'm convinced that there's almost no oxygen left in Washington, D.C. It's taken up with political molecules or something.
It's perchlorate poisoning.
Well, yeah, okay. That too.
Yeah.
But the fact is, these so-called Democratic leaders, you know, I knew you were out and about last night. You'd emailed me. I had a little low rent hissy on the air about the fact that, you know, A, George Bush wants the line item veto, and B, the fact that John Kerry announced that he was going to sponsor legislation to give it to him.
Oh, I listened on the archives later while I was trying to pull myself together.
I can't understand that kind of conduct. What America is begging, I mean, am I wrong, CB? America is literally begging for bold, decisive leadership.
You're not wrong. It absolutely is. I think I may have mentioned before, ever since the Patriot Act was enacted back in 2001, I have not talked to one person who's even a little in favor of it.
No.
Not one.
No.
And now, so why is Congress doing that? You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think that when we elect them, we're electing them to just go do whatever the heck they feel like or what's politically expedient. We're electing them to take care of us.
But the thing is, the problem, this is one of the fundamental problems with our political system as it exists today, CB, and it will continue to be this way until such time as we get public funding of elections and take some of the filth out of our process. The only people who can run for office are generally rich people. And rich people aren't known for being brilliant. They're known for being freaking rich. Okay, they're known for being able to grab a dollar and hang on to the next one and pin, you know, and squeeze a nickel until Jefferson yells. They're not known for their brilliant thought.
Well,
that class of rich people that gave us the Kennedys, for instance, that had a strong belief in public service, they're gone, CB. They're just gone. They don't exist. This is me, 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 me. Get, 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 get. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me mine.
yes, in many ways, we're only getting what we deserve because we've allowed this to go on for so long.
You know, we traded the Kennedys for the Bushes, and man, didn't we trade down?
Yeah, that's about as bad a trade as you could possibly make.
But there was a time when the moneyed class in this nation felt some sort of kinship with the national spirit, when the moneyed class felt like they owed some sort of a debt back to the country. But now we have a moneyed class that is most manifest in the Bush family, that thinks they owe nothing to us and we working people owe everything to them.
I don't think that many of my fellow citizens have really sat down to think of the import of what they're doing when they're voting.
No.
You know, what's at stake. In Australia, you get a ticket, like a traffic fine, if you fail to vote. And I think if everyone had to vote, things would be really, really, really different in this world. I mean, it's still the same old thing that the vast majority of the people who are moved to vote are the ones who are wealthy and want to stay that way, or the ones who, like the recent phenomena of the fundamentalist Christians, you know, the ones that want to keep people from getting abortions and
gay people
from getting married. And
right, the single-issue hate voter.
Yeah, the single-issue hate voter and the single-issue greed voter makes up too big a percentage of the eligible voters out there.
I know. I mean, you know, we talk about this perchlorate issue, CB. I have friends down in the southern part of the state where they're blowing the mountains up, and they go door-to-door trying to tell them what's going on, and they get doors slammed in their faces sometimes. I don't want to know about it.
Well, I know that... I had a boss for about 3 days once, years and years ago, who kept griping at me to quit thinking ahead.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I know. I just looked at him and went, wait,
I know.
And I just turned around and walked out the door. I just thought to myself, I'm never going to be able to work for this guy if he wants me not to. He was genuinely irritated by it.
Oh,
you know,
well, you know, checker
things that were going to keep him out of trouble down the road. That,
checkers,
you know,
players hate chess players.
God.
I know, CB. But dear, please hang in there and keep us posted on how things are going for you. I've got Rick waiting behind you, and I want to go ahead and get him on too, if that's all right.
Yeah. I want to hear all about it from Rick.
All right, take care, CB. We will be thinking about you. Bye now.
Okay, bye.
And Rick, hey Rick, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, I got a lot to cover and a short time to do it because, well, we've discussed the rules.
Nah, you run on, brother.
Yeah, all right, man. All right, to CB, welcome to my world. I'm sorry you had to get there, but that's the way that this Florida model is spreading across the whole country. And that is that you have this limited availability to medical coverage, and then you must sign away your rights and give them sovereign immunity. And then if they hurt you like they did me, they're not responsible. And then they can take their time deciding if they want to save your life or not. That's what I'm going through. I'm so sorry you're going through that and where you are. But that's the way it is. And you also said something else, CB, that intrigued me. And it intrigued me because you didn't know or you just found it out. And that is, the common man cannot go to the polls to vote and not be accosted by the police to have to show ID.
Yeah.
Many people that want to vote, they owe child support. They have a parking ticket. They have a speeding ticket. They're out running warrants. And all the good people of this country would say, well, good, they don't have the right. Well, they do have the right because they have not been charged with nothing more than a misdemeanor.
Well, and the thing is, Rick, even with those people, it's not necessarily that they're going to be waiting to arrest them there. It's the mere threat of it.
That's right. They don't have to do anything.
Or, you know, you do what oh, it was the Republican County Committee in Louisville, Kentucky, a couple of years ago that said that said. I mean, they were proud of this. They were going to put Republicans outside the polls in black neighborhoods and make black mothers and fathers and you know African Americans. They were going to say, we challenge your right to vote. You better show us that that voter's registration now, boy.
Oh yeah, sure. That's what they'll do when they don't have anything on anybody.
But that's
what they'll do is they'll post the stormtrooper, they'll post the man standing there with his guns and everything else. And I'm going to tell you, there's so many disaffected people in society that would love to do their civic duty and vote, but they cannot. They can't risk it. They have families to support, or they don't want to go to damn jail where AIDS are rampant here in this state, where a simple 30 to 60 day sentence might mean death if you contract the TB that's in these cells. So they know all these things, and so do the police. And all they have to do is stand there with their guns and their green uniforms, and that's it. They kill the vote. And that's as far as I'll go on that. So, CB, I'm so sorry that you're seeing all this. And I know you're a smart lady. You've emailed me. But that's the way it is, and that's the way this country is becoming, as I told you. The medical industry here in Florida is the model for the country.
Yep.
Now, you were talking earlier with your guest about experimentation on us people.
Yeah, that's what it amounts to. It's human experimentation.
In 1963, I was in an orphanage in New York. And as it turned out, thanks to Mrs. O'Leary, Clinton's energy secretary, she exposed the fact that I and people that I grew up with, because of this orphanage, was exposed to having uranium or some of those isotopes put in our milk.
Oh, God.
And there's nothing we can do to sue. There's nothing we can do to make a stand. It was a national security effort. They are clean. Once again, sovereign immunity. And that actually happened.
Yeah.
And I can document it.
Oh yeah, I remember when that story broke. My God, Rick,
it's absolutely true.
Oh sure,
and if they would do it in 1963, why would they not do it in 2006? Was someone would tell on them like they couldn't tell on them then? We've moved to a society in the last 5 or 6 years of nothing but utmost secrecy. It was Clinton, and I give him credit, and I very seldom do, who brought Miss O'Leary on. And then when everything broke loose, he got rid of her.
Well, didn't it also happen during the Clinton administration that all the dirt came out about the unwitting medical experimentation that had been done on African American prison populations, that had been
done on soldiers? Well, what I remember coming out was the Red Cross scandal about known contaminated blood with HIV. Between the United States and Canada, and
yeah.
He exposed that. And then as far as for experimentation on prisoners, yes, I remember something about that.
Well, that's why I say, Rick, that yeah, I don't hold myself up as some sort of paragon of virtue by any stretch of the imagination.
Well,
I have feet of clay.
I wouldn't hold myself.
But I would like to have a government that's as moral as you and me are.
I would like to have a government that sets the standard for me to aspire to.
Well, you know, there's a thought.
I mean, they're supposed to be better than me. These are the best and the brightest. They are supposed to be better than me and lead my way, light my way. They are the candle in my wind. They are supposed to be the example that I aspire to, that I teach my children to aspire to be better than me, to be better than them. But they don't do that because the only thing it comes down to over and over again is the bottom line of how can I make money? And I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. It always comes down to that. Look what the Democrats did to the black community, to their welfare programs. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah, and then claimed that we have done welfare reform. Sure.
Yeah, they destroyed. They destroyed the dream of the New Deal. They destroyed it through compromise and feather bedding. Oh, I can't stand them sometimes. All right, my next thing is what this election is going to be all about. And it's going to be about labor, labor, and labor. Mr. and Mrs. America and all fellow Bob Kincaid listeners, listen to me. Listen to me, please. You have to protect your job. I understand there are people in other countries that are suffering. They're chained to benches, some of them, and making the products we buy so cheaply. Some of them are getting 50 cents an hour, 25, 10 cents, a dollar. Some are even getting two or three. But you can't compete with that. No matter how hard you try, you can't compete with that. And there comes a time where you must save yourself and your country. You can't do business with people that don't have any money.
No.
And if you keep going the way you're going, American worker, you're not going to have any money. And no one's going to be able to do business with us unless they chain us to a bench.
So if very well
want,
said, Rick.
You can't win if you're competing against a guy that's a slave or a near slave or an indentured servant. You can't do it. This election, the 2006 election, is about your future, about your child's future, about my child, my grandchild's future. It's about them and us, for Pete's sakes. If we don't stop the course we're on and protect labor, then we're going to lose it all, because labor is the backbone of the country.
Rick, I've got a screenshot here from Fox News. And I mentioned last night that John Fund said on Lou Dobbs' program that we had to sell the ports to Dubai because the mob had gotten control of the dock workers.
Yeah.
Now,
isn't that wonderful?
Well, but see, this is how the right-wing echo chamber works. So that was CNN last night. Tonight I've got a screenshot of some clown. I don't know what his name is. But the font underneath him says, the bottom line. Let me see here. Okay. Yeah, the bottom line, dock workers unions, bigger port threat than Dubai?
I got the whole video. I was going to send it up to you, and I will. I got the whole video. That was on Fox. I've got it. And I will make sure that you
Why? You know, I mean, far be it from me to tell some longshoreman what the hell to do, but why aren't there 1,000 longshoremen around the headquarters of the Fox network tonight?
Well, the reason why they're not around there is because, once again, they have done the same thing as every other American worker has done. They have capitulated. They have capitulated for the sake of security.
Well, see, I don't know that I necessarily buy that, Rick. I think it goes back to some of what I was talking about with CB. Some of these things are leadership issues.
Leadership is corrupt.
Well, in some instances it is, but I know some of the leadership, and I know it's
between a mafia don and a union leader these days. Will somebody please explain it to me? I don't.
Well, the difference is, Rick, that we've had 20 years of being told by the right wing media that there is no difference. I know union leaders. I've broken bread with them.
We're not talking about Wayne.
No. I'm talking about people that are above that. I've broken bread with them, and you know what? They're good, decent, hardworking people.
Well, then get them on the show and ask.
But there's an issue of leadership. That's what I'm coming back to, Rick.
And ask them in front of all of us. Ask that question. See if they'll show up. I'll guarantee you they won't show up. But I would love to be wrong and eat my words. Get them on the show and ask them. Those people you broke bread with, get them on. And ask that very same question. Because I'd like to know why that they are sacrificing the rank and file for this putrid, unlawful quagmire called the Democratic Party.
Well,
I'd love to know.
It's a tough question. It's a really tough question, Rick. But the fact of the matter is, I had, and I'm not lumping you together, but back in the bad old days in Beckley, I had a call from a guy who said, well, maybe labor would be better off if they would just lay out of the November 2004 presidential election and let the Democrats sink or swim without them.
No way. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that at all.
Here's what I say.
I would say this, that the Republicans are doing a good job at dividing our house, and we shall fall.
Yeah.
We do have us fighting amongst ourselves. But at the same time, you got people like Lieberman, and you got that freak from Delaware with Mr. Hare, and I can't stay on the mirror so much, who voted with the Capital One and everybody else.
Yeah, bankruptcy Biden.
Yeah, and all these guys. And I got news for you. If we lose them, if they go over to the proper side, it's going to wake a lot of people up to what they are. I don't mind losing them freaks. I would like to see them take a ban. Just tell me that 50 Democrats sunk on a boat tonight that, you know, that are higher ups in the DSL or whatever it is, DLS or
DLC, yeah, sure.
Just tell me that they sunk, and I'll say that's a good start. Because those people are not for labor. They're not for people. They're not,
well, and
for,
that's,
kids.
And
not
that's,
for choice. They're not for anything.
And that's where I think the distinction arises, Rick. The distinction arises in, and this is labor, this is you know, this is the same thing applies to environmentalist groups, okay? It's all about finding out who the, you know, who does lip service and who puts their feet on the street when it comes to our representation. You know,
I know Greenpeace would bang boats with people and get shot at.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The Sierra Club, they're a bunch of dinner coffee clutch freaks. They don't get anything done except they get a bone thrown to them.
Well,
that's the difference.
But you know, they're divided. You know, I mean, you feel that way about the Sierra Club. Somebody else says, you know, Greenpeace, whatever.
Check them out.
Well, No. That's. But I'm trying to make
money.
A Rick.
That's
I'm trying to make Rick. I'm trying to make a point here.
I know. I'm sorry.
And the point.
I'm excited.
I know you are. Frankly, if I could get people as excited as you are, if America, we wouldn't have a problem. You know, I'm all for the throw the bums out approach. But the fact of the matter is, what we're facing in 06, I mean, you talked about the critical importance of 2006. Well, after the primaries are over, you know, they're having their little Texas primary tonight in Texas, obviously. The dear leader spent a couple of $1 million of our money flying down to Texas. He was too good to do an absentee ballot.
Yeah.
Tom DeLay is spending his primary election night with a bunch of fundraisers who are charging upwards of $2,500 a plate for rubber chicken to sit with Tom.
Yeah, but everybody's flushed. That's the good news.
Well, I mean, that's the Republican side. But, you know, it's by the time November 2006 rolls around, it's going to be the choice between, in some instances, you know, some mugwump Democrat and a really hateful right-wing theocratic fascist Republican. I'm voting mugwump if I'm a Democrat.
Not me. I'm voting for change.
Now I've got a short list of people I won't do that for. I will not vote for Robert Byrd.
I won't vote for, well, I can't vote for Byrd. But I mean, I am voting for change, and if we don't get a hold of that idea, we can still win this with new candidates. We can win this if we just get the rank and file out there to get behind it. But if we're going to support the status quo, we've got no message. That's what the Republicans keep saying.
Right, and that's where
message. We got no plan.
And that's where we're operating.
Biden and Leukemia Man up in Connecticut.
Yeah, well, that's where we're bass ackwards on this. We keep, you know, we were thinking, you know, a year ago we were thinking about November 2006 when we should have been thinking about our individual party primaries.
That's right.
You know, Lieberman, they raised enough ruckus to get a challenger for Lieberman. You know, hurrah. Yay.
Well, I don't
great.
Know what those guys in Connecticut are thinking. The only people that could want them are the guys that live in the mansions in Greenfield, or what they call it. I've been there. I drove a cab. I delivered rich millionaire horse owners from Saratoga Springs, New York. They paid it. They bought a cab. You know, they spent $500, $600.
Yeah.
And I dropped them at their doorsteps. I mean, I know what's going on in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. The only people that love Lieberman are those rich Arabian horse stallion owners.
Sure. Well, yeah. And people. But bear in mind, you know, we talk like we're the only Democrats. Remember, there are a gaggle out there in the United States of America at large, Rick. There are a gaggle of sissy centrist Democrats, you know, who think that, you know, all that, who go, like I was talking to CB, they think all they got to do is lay low and be quiet and watch the Republicans collapse by themselves, and they don't have to stand for anything.
Hell no.
They don't have to take any chances.
They're laughing at us.
But that's what they're being told. They're being told that from the top down. I had the story last night from the Wall Street Journal talking about impeachment, and Tony Trupiano, former talk show host, great guy, is running in Michigan, I believe, and he says, the first thing I will do as a member of Congress is I will introduce bills of impeachment against George Bush. And the Democratic leadership says, well, that's not necessarily a very
that's
great
what
way
I mean.
To
look. And that's why we
screw them, Rick.
Look,
screw them.
Look.
But we're up against that clock. We got to quit.
Democratic leadership. And if you think Hillary Clinton, I know you don't, but to the audience, if you think Hillary Clinton's going to get it done for you, him and Bill, or her and Bill, are just laughing in your face. They created this morass. They destroyed your party, my party, Bob's party. This group of slugs that has come in, and that those two creeps that used to show up on CNN, Carville and the rest, these people have sold you out, they sold me out, and they sold Bob out, and they sold our kids out. They're not your friends.
That leaves us, Rick.
They're evildoers, and they got to go. And if all we get out of this election is the end of the Liebermans and the Bidens, we've sent a message. Because let me tell you, if we go the course of trying to salvage these people, then the Republicans are right.
No, there's no salvaging a Lieberman or a Biden.
Change.
Agnes has the iron skillet out, Rick.
I got it covered. I'll see you. Bye now.
Bye now. Later. Don't hit me. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Now that Judge Alito was on the bench, states are lining up to be the first one with a test case to challenge Roe v. Wade, the landmark ruling legalizing abortions that's been a rallying cry for so-called conservatives ever since. First up at the plate is South Dakota, which just signed the most restrictive laws against abortion since pre-Roe days. According to the legislation, anyone performing an abortion is guilty of a Class 5 felony with a penalty of up to 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. That's a bit less than what you would get if you committed first-degree murder, so I guess they're not quite ready yet to put an unborn fetus at the same level as an adult. My question is this. If a woman has a miscarriage, is there a murder investigation to see if it was intentional? Silly question, you say. That's not the intent of the law. But if that's not the intent, then what is? And who is the law meant for? You don't think for 1 minute that the rich and powerful won't find ways to go around it. Maybe, as in the case with anti-sodomy laws, it's meant to go after only a certain group of people. I think you know who I mean. I wish I had an easy answer for all this, but I don't, and neither, I suspect, does anyone else. So much of this is political grandstanding, and I don't know who's worse, the people who really believe in the so-called sanctity of life, or the ones just using it as an issue for their own gain. The only prediction I'll make is that until we start talking about this issue and others, honestly, with ourselves and others, this idiocy will continue. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Conservatives? We don't need no stinking conservatives.
Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeed. 25 minutes or thereabouts before the hour, halfway through tonight. A couple of emails for you. I cherish the passion that people bring to this program. And there is a real sense of disgust and frustration with our side. And I understand, Lord, I don't understand it. I live it. This idea that we can't, you know, that we'll reach, you know, a couple of years ago, the Bush administration was all about clarifications. They needed to clarify the Clean Water Act so they could blow up some more mountains in West Virginia, by God. So it was clarifications, and now the new word, it's been used a couple of times tonight, accommodations. Now we're going to accommodate. Why don't we just quit beating around the bush and... you know what that... It's a colloquial term, Agent Fred, daggummit. Quit beating around the bush and just admit what it is we're doing. It's not a clarification. It's not an accommodation. By God, it is capitulation. It's capitulation. Call it what it is. The Congress capitulates its powers to dear leader. And that's what we're facing with the Dubai ports. We're facing a capitulation. And the Democrats are getting left in the dust again. There's a story out there today, Congressman Jerry Lewis. I know. The joke is just, it's too obvious to even do. Congressman Jerry Lewis is a California Republican, and he says he's going to hang an amendment on the new spending bill, the one that's required to keep funding the war against Iraq, that says, you know, no Dubai ports deal. And he'll make the government shut down. And he's a Republican. And he, you know, he's squaring it. Why is he doing it? Probably because he's up for election this fall. And he knows it's a great way to get reelected. You know, it's Machiavellian politics. But it's still politics. I got an email here from our friend Roz. I keep hoping this country will correct itself. If the Democrats are not going to fight, why the hell should I keep banging my head against the wall? Why? Nothing will change in November. California's set to go red, just like Sourove desires. I'm not waiting until some group I'm a member of ends up on Chucklenut's personal private terrorist list. Can you say else? ACLU? Sierra Club? Time to go, folks. Time to go. The window of opportunity is closing fast. You wondered how everyday Germans could sit back and do nothing 66-plus years ago? Welcome to the new time, same as the old time. And I'm sure, I confess, you know, when I'm wrong or when I don't know, one of the fundamental tenets of this program is that I be straight with you. And you be straight with me. It's a deal we have with each other. I don't know what the answer is. Is the answer to just stay the hell away and let these mugwump Democrats wallow and go away? That breaks my heart. It does. It breaks my heart because I, by God, am a Democrat. I'm not so sure about people in Congress. I don't know. Now, I know that there are mainstream, mainline, hard, you know, cut them and they bleed Republicans in Congress. I know that. I don't know how many Democrats that feel the way I do about my party are left in Congress, or feel the way that you do about your party are left in Congress. There's a bunch of people up there that, oh, we can't talk about it. You know, the only thing we got left in the House of Representatives outside of the Sherrod Brown and Dennis Kucinich and a few other white people, the only thing we've got with any fire left to it is the Democratic Black Caucus. They're the only ones that have the guts to stand up and say anything. It's frustrating as hell. You know, conservative Democrats drive me absolutely up the wall. This country is getting killed by conservatism as it is presently defined. Now, the people like me, like you, who practice conservatism every blessed month, when you sit down and you do the budget and you say, have I got enough money to go to the movies? No? Well, maybe next month.
the people who practice at home on the ground conservatism, who make sure, we're kind of vegetarian this month, kids, because gotta buy the medicine. That's a kind of conservatism that no conservative has ever even contemplated. And I despise them for it. Telling me that conservatism will save me. Conservatism is killing me! And you and us. Conservatism is bleeding us pale. Conservatism will have... never mind. You get the idea. I'm tired of the battle, the battle between the hardcore conservatives to be more mean, one wants to be more mean than the next guy, and I'm a member of a party whose membership sits there and, we can't say anything bad. You know, this goes all the way back to the 2004 Democratic National Convention when the word went out to be nice to George. You remember that? Remember how we were going to be upbeat and positive and on message? And they sat there, the Republicans did, and they laughed because they knew what was coming. Man, they knew. They had Arnold Schwarzenegger all lined up to come out. Don't be economic girly men. And sits there and talks trash on John Kerry. And on Christmas Day 2004, John Kerry sat down to Christmas dinner with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, I understand that, that we're going to be civil. This is politics in America, and we don't have to disagree. You know, they had two retired senators talking about crossing the country for the school breakfast program. It was Bob Dole and George McGovern. And they, we got along great. I understand that people want that, but you know what? There is a time coming for the Democratic Party where we have to stop getting along. Getting along is, it's not doing any harm to the Democratic Party to be in the minority. They know they can't get anything done, so therefore they don't have to try to get anything done. But the Democratic Party being in the minority in Congress is killing us. It is killing people who die alone in their apartments from untreated infections. It is killing children. Oh, God. What was it? I can't remember. Duval County, Florida? Is that where Jacksonville is? Where the Bush administration proposed testing pesticides on little urban children. Free video camera, free T-shirt, and a bumper sticker, and a certificate suitable for framing, and $500 for spraying your kid down with Decon and videotaping it while it happened. Do you see? Yeah, you know why I'm frustrated. I don't have to ask questions like that. That's rhetorical. So all Roz, I understand. Rick, I understand. CB, I understand. Maybe next time. I hate maybe next time. I hate maybe next time almost as much as I hate at least we tried. I despise it. But maybe next time we'll have enough sense to realize that our fight in the Democratic Party, if, as we say, the problem is in our party, maybe we understand that the next time our fight isn't in the general election, our fight is in the primaries. I don't have anybody I can vote for instead of Robert Byrd in the Democratic primary. And I'm holding this grudge. I'm holding this grudge against Bob Byrd because he's at, we're hearing, the president's illegal spying program. He's spying on the American people. Screw it, Bob. You voted for Sam Alito, baby. And when you voted for Sam Alito, you voted for a man who will strike down everything you might do that got in George Bush's way, so I don't want to hear it anymore. And come November, I don't have to vote for Byrd's challenger, but by God, I do not have to vote for Byrd. I can leave it blank. and I will not feel one iota of responsibility for anything that happens as a result of that. Because you know what? He didn't feel one damned iota of responsibility for my feelings about a man that was a verified monster who is sitting on the Supreme Court now. Gave us that bunch of hooey about receiving letters with coffee stains on them sitting around the television while they wrote them on personalized stationery when you can't get a letter from here to Washington, D.C. inside of 6 weeks. Don't cotton to being lied to. So, you know, I apologize. Then I've got, you know, our good buddy Joe Vecchio with some very, very good points about South Dakota's actions in enacting that hateful, hateful law about women and what they can do with their bodies. Let's see. We're going to try to take a Skype call here. No, it doesn't go through that one. Bring up the computer port, dear, and click the green button. Hey, you're head on.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, David, how are you?
What's up? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great. This is like an experiment.
It is?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback in your background, but I guess that's coming from your audio feedback.
Yeah, it's looping back to you. There's nothing I can really do about it right now. But you're coming through great on this end.
Okay, I just sitting here listening. It sounds pretty ugly. You know, I mean, from a conservative standpoint, you know, if you're looking at, you know, the demise of Air America, and you ask yourself why, and
well, who says Air America is demising?
Well, they're losing their main affiliate because they're behind several million dollars in payments on it. And,
that's WLIB New York.
Yeah, and. But my point was, the majority of people don't want to hear about how bad their country is 24/7. Yeah, it just doesn't sell. If you have to feel bad about yourself, bad about your country, bad about the way everything's going, it doesn't sell, you know, to the vast majority of people.
Well, you know, that's interesting you should bring that up, David, because Air America just went off the air in Phoenix, and the station that was carrying Air America in the Phoenix area had gone from number 25 in the market to something like number 3. So obviously it was selling. It does sell.
My prediction is 30 days.
No. That's no. You're wrong.
But just sitting back and listening, I mean, you know, there's so much negativity and hostility about the progress that y'all have lost to conservatives, whether it be on the Supreme Court or whether it be the conservative agenda. But there's no positive solutions coming from your standpoint. It's only negativism.
I don't owe any solutions to the Republicans, David.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about your own solutions from the Democratic Party. You can't sell negativism.
My party's broken. I don't hear any negativism coming from my party. If I heard somebody actually standing up and criticizing this monster in the White House, I might feel a little bit better.
If you had positive ideals, positive things to talk about that were alternatives to what you consider what is wrong, you would reach a broader base.
Well, I mean,
simply.
Okay, I'm trying to work with you here. What kind of positive ideals?
Well, I can't create your own format, but I'm trying to do that.
I mean, I think we're talking about some positive things here, David. It would be a positive for Americans to be able to, every American, working Americans, non-working Americans, old Americans, baby Americans, it would be a positive thing for them to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick, wouldn't it?
Talking about universal health care?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's...
It would be a positive thing if we could fix the corporate bankruptcy laws so that corporations couldn't steal pensions away from people by simply going bankrupt. Did you see what General Motors did to their salaried workers today?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, General Motors is cutting salaried workers' pensions. They're just taking their pensions away from them or a significant portion of them.
Let's go back to universal health care. I mean, you got to decide what kind of society you want. I mean, we were built on capitalism. If you want to, you know, if you want to revert the society to socialism and bring everybody down to the same level.
No, see, I'm not gonna play in that frame, David. Letting everybody go to the doctor when they're sick is not socialism. That's Christianity with its boots on the ground.
If you've got health care, it's because you're working for health care. You know, if you take the incentive away from people to achieve and you give everybody what everybody else has, even the people that are working hard, then that's socialism.
Well, wait, though. You're making something that a lawyer might say is called assuming facts not in evidence. You said if you've got health care, it's because you're working for health care. How about the people who are working and don't get health care?
The working poor a lot.
How about the working middle class that don't have it?
There's a lot of choices going on out there to not purchase health care that's available to them.
To not purchase health care that's available to them.
Yes, because they feel it's the cost prohibitive or they've got other
priorities. Right. In other words, people that work at Walmart and they choose not to have Walmart's health care because they choose to eat.
I mean, they chose to work at Walmart.
They chose to work. So what? So what? I mean, I'm kind of lost here. At what point, David,
Walmart's not an executive job. I mean, if you want a better job, go get you an education.
So
get a
only
job.
Executives deserve health care? I'm getting kind of lost here.
Do executives deserve health care?
No, only executives. You said if you want health care, go be an executive. You know, I think the guy that mines your coal deserves health care. I think the guy that drives the train that brings the coal to the power plant deserves health care.
No, I didn't say that. Maybe that got distorted. That's not what I said. I said if you want a better paying job, you need to go to school, go to college, go out and serve in an industry where you can make more money. But if you've done nothing and your options are Walmart, then you've got to live within that budget and set the lifestyle that you've created for yourself. And if health care is a priority to you, then you need to cut back. And if you're in a situation where you can't eat, you need to evaluate where you're at in life and what you need to do.
How do you do that evaluation when the kids are already on the ground? What do you tell the guy who got the really good education in computer programming whose job is now in India, and yeah, he's working at Walmart? How is that one his fault?
I don't think there's too many computer programmers working at Walmart.
There's plenty of them. After the bust of the tech bubble, yeah, there's a lot. There were people out there with computer degrees delivering pizzas.
That was a free economy. I mean, that was part of a democratic stock.
Okay, so
overinflated.
So we're just gonna say screw the poor, screw the middle class who can't afford health care. You know, it's their fault they can't. See, this is what makes your party so hard to stomach, David. You're mean.
Your solution is socialism. It's never worked.
It's not socialism, David. I mean, I can't understand why business doesn't want to get behind universal health care. You know, do you know why Toyota went to Canada instead of building more plants in the United States? Because as a business decision, they don't have to worry about paying health care for their workers.
No, but that's a socialistic society.
No,
where they
it's
pay
not.
10 times.
David, learn what socialism is. Canada is a republic, not a republic.
No, they are, but
they are certainly a democracy.
No, they aren't.
Oh, they're not. Canadians?
No, Canada is not considered a democracy. You need to look it up.
Okay, they operate. Neither is the United States considered a democracy. We're a republic based on democratic principles. See, this is what I'm talking about. But they go to the polls, they vote, they elect their leaders, they are as free as birds.
But do you want to pay 75-80% of your taxes so that you can have health care?
Well, why are you saying it's 75 or 80%, David? That's where I'm getting lost here. Because
provide health care in Canada?
David, we spend more money on health care in a private system that doesn't insure all of our people in this country than Canada spends on theirs. Than England or Germany or France or Sweden, Switzerland. They've all got good health care.
And I would agree with you that our health care system sucks because I pay you know, you pay a certain amount per month, and then you've got deductibles and co-pays, and if you have a serious situation, even if you have good insurance, you're still in a lot of trouble.
Well, right. I mean, you maybe you heard the story a couple of weeks ago about this new it was a cancer drug that had been used in one liver cancer, something like that, and they want to use it in breast cancer, but it's $200,000 a year to treat it. And there are people out there, there are women with breast cancer saying, you know, I can't afford this. My insurance will cover it, but, you know, my copay is $20,000.
Right.
That's broken. I mean, see, that's the thing, David. It sounds like you're trying to work through some of the meanness, but the fact of the matter is you're being played by the insurance industry. You're being played by the pharmaceutical industry.
Where's the money going to come to provide socialized medicine?
Where's the money coming from now?
My pocket.
Right. You could have.
Do you want me to pay for everybody else's health care?
No, I want you to pay for yours. You could have nationalized health care with as good or better coverage than what you have now for less money than you are already paying. Now, for an economic conservative, I would think that would be appealing. I would think to an economic conservative it would be appealing to embolden the free market and bring and get those jobs from Toyota, get them to build the plants in the United States that they're building in Canada. I would, you know, one of the reasons that companies outsource to India is India takes care of its people, and you know, Microsoft doesn't have to worry about paying health care in Mumbai. Now, if we set it up where that happened here, don't you think that would level the playing field a little bit in the great scheme of what do we like, free trade?
You can't run a protectionist society. It doesn't work.
There's no protectionism in that. That's balance.
Now, if you look at the old social structure of the Soviet Union, it's the same thing. You keep overinflating, providing services at a higher rate and wage of what the economy can sustain, but you artificially prop that up, and that system failed.
But
you can't pay workers $30 an hour to make underwear.
No, you can't pay workers $30 an hour to make underwear, and you're making my point for me, because that's what we're doing here. We're artificially propping up big hospital corporations. We're artificially propping up big pharma. I mean, we've got a Medicare deal that won't allow the federal government to even negotiate for lower prices. What is that but an artificial Soviet-style prop-up?
Well, fine, but going to free trade, I want the opportunity to go to Walmart and get a good deal. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, if that good deal, there's some Christianity involved here, David. There's some morality involved here. If that good deal at Walmart involves you furthering the likelihood that some woman's going to die in Bangladesh in a building collapse and her sweater factory chained to the desk, yeah, but you got a good deal at Walmart.
And
David,
I'm giving them a job.
That they died at. We got to get out of here. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care now. Bye. See, that's... David's a decent guy, but this free market, this idea that somehow what's going on with the Republicans is a free market, it ain't so. This is the worst kind of. I mean, you want to complain about socialism? Propping up the drug industry is socialism, isn't it? Of course it is. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When you're in danger. difference. Did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Head on Radio Network News. I'm Bruce Birch. Donald Rumsfeld is unhappy. Rumsfeld lashed out today at reports about casualties and killings in the wake of the mosque bombings in Iraq last week. Rumsfeld said the U.S. government's casualty figures were lower than those cited by people who actually live in Iraq. Rumsfeld wants journalists to use government numbers. In separate saber-rattling, Rumsfeld is accusing Iran of sending people into Iraq to assist in attacks on the American occupation there. At a Pentagon briefing today, Rumsfeld said, quote, "I will say this about Iran. They are currently putting people into Iraq that are harmful to the future of Iraq," unquote. Rumsfeld added that the Iranians will come to regret their actions. Three associates of Iraqi cleric Muqtada al-Sadr were gunned down in a drive-by shooting in Baquba today. Another individual was injured during the attack on the car in which the four were traveling. In Baghdad, shootings and bombings killed four other people as well as wounding two dozen. A car bomb exploded near a U.S. convoy. No word has been available on casualties in that attack. The FBI knew al-Qaeda had its people in American flight schools before 9/11. That's the claim of defense lawyers for Zacharias Moussaoui during the punishment phase of his trial. FBI Special Agent Mike Ansidov testified today that another al-Qaeda operative had attended the same flight school in Norman, Oklahoma that Moussaoui attended. He also testified that the FBI knew that al-Qaeda planned to hijack airliners long before September the 11th, 2001. General Motors is taking pension money away from its workers. The automaker made the announcement today as part of a cost-cutting measure. As many as 42,000 salaried workers for GM will have to take the cuts in their retirement benefits. Salaried workers for GM have no union protection against such actions. There was no mention of General Motors executives taking similar cuts. This is news from the Horn. Head on Radio Network News.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. Let's see, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hello.
And as you know, he's African-American like you, so you can trust him.
And that's important, because here's the low monthly payment and interest rate you were promised, and here's where it triples. Plus, we buried a balloon payment in there, so you'll need another loan just to pay that off.
Another loan?
But we'll keep giving you loans.
Until we eventually take all the equity you had in your house, leaving you with absolutely nothing.
What?
But don't worry. We're going to sell you credit life insurance. You don't really need it, but we sell it at five times the cost.
Which puts a ton of cash in our pockets.
Wait, whoa. Don't get up. You look nervous.
Ooh, we better hurry up and get you to sign, or if you don't, I can pretend to ruin your credit with one phone call.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Barry Bonds uses steroids. That's the conclusion of two authors who tracked his behavior and court documents for the last several years. The revelation is detailed in the latest edition of Sports Illustrated, which excerpts a soon-to-be-published book called Game of Shadows. The authors contend that Bonds took an amazing array of steroids to enhance his performance starting in the late 1990s. They claim jealousy of Mark McGwire motivated him. Bonds has offered no comment on the accusations. Another so-called detainee has died in U.S. custody in Iraq. Other people imprisoned in the American concentration camp dragged the body to the gate of Camp Buka in southern Iraq.
After performing CPR on the man, officials eventually declared that the man had died of what they termed, quote, natural causes, unquote. Efforts continue to stop George Bush's deal to allow Dubai to run America's ports. Representative Jerry Lewis, a California Republican, says he will attach an amendment to a spending bill that provides money for war against Iraq. George Bush has said he will veto any attempt to keep him from selling America's port operations to Dubai. A California sheriff's deputy will face attempted manslaughter charges for trying to kill an unarmed veteran of the war against Iraq. The deputy was caught on videotape shooting Elion Carrion last January 29th. Prosecutors say his fear of the unarmed Carrion was unfounded. Dana Reeve, the wife of actor Christopher Reeve, has died of lung cancer. Ms. Reeve became a tireless advocate for the search for a cure for paralyzing injuries after her husband was paralyzed from the neck down following a fall from a horse. Mrs. Reeve was 44 years old and was not a smoker. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bruce Birch.
Dana Reeve, the wife of actor.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
All right. 5.5 minutes after the hour, Head On for a Tuesday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. A couple of remarks. Our good friend Gail down under just writing in to say, I really love the new news format at last, progressive framing. That's what we're going for here. We're trying to get progressive framing in, just a real way of looking at the news. The way I write the news, I would have gotten fired from CNN for doing that, because you can't tell the truth in the mainstream media. You can't say things like, Donald Rumsfeld is an angry little bastard. Sue, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Sue. How are you?
Hi. Not bad.
So, I know. The echo is annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you what. Let me do some under-the-table engineering real quick, and I'll see if we can't make it a little bit better, all right? Stand by for me, please.
Okay.
This is the part where Bob is an engineer and has dead air and stuff. And hold on.
Bob doesn't have dead air. How are you, Sue?
I'm fine, thank you, Ed. Love that he gets all hit up.
I'm sorry for the popping.
Just hold on for the popping.
Now.
Okay, is that better?
No, it's not better yet.
Oh.
It is.
Yes, yeah. That should fix it. There's the phone ringing.
I've lost the echo.
Okay, here we go.
Yep.
We can fix the echo, so it just, takes a couple of heroic measures. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just phoning up. I sat listening, and that chap David was his name?
Yes, yes.
Why do they not understand what... You're looking after your people. They always say, oh, socialism, it's just like Russia, and it's nothing like Russia.
No. I mean, you haven't, you probably haven't made it to a May Day parade in years, have you, Sue?
Well, we have May Day off over here. it's a bank holiday.
Right, well, it's...
We
go ahead.
We generally dance around poles holding ribbons, and you get... The Morris men with their little bells and balloons on sticks,
Yeah. But
it's not expensive. I mean, the tax rate over here, I think it's for the first, you have a certain amount that you pay 10%, mm-hmm. and then for the next, once it reaches something like £1,500, then you pay 20%. And you've got to wait ages before you get up to any higher. It's a lot of tax.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
So,
but see, that's
where does he get 75%?
Well, yeah, that's, but that, you got to understand, that's what the Republican Party has told its faithful, that they are going to have to pay if they want everybody in the nation to be able to go to the doctor. That's what they're upset about. It's, you know, it's about poor people getting to go to the doctor. There has been, and I'm not talking about David in particular, okay? I'm talking about right-wingers in general, Sue, in this country have been told, they've been taught to hate people who are in worse shape than them, who have less than them, who, well, you know what I'm, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean, you see, so, but it's crazy because these people are educated, aren't they?
Yeah, but the thing is, education sometimes can't win out over a 25 years here, Sue. I mean, maybe it's a little harder for you to understand being in the UK where you haven't had it, but for 25 years in the United States, Sue, we have been bombarded with people like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and these hate mongers telling America how evil the poor are. And it takes a toll after a time. And some of it is shame on us progressives and shame on us liberals for letting them do it. Because for years and years and years, Democrats, progressives, liberals, well, you know, we're not going to listen to that AM talk radio. That's a fad. That'll be gone in a week or two. And it wasn't. It changed the political. No. It changed America's political landscape.
It's just brainwashing, really, isn't it?
That's kind of what we're getting at, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
You know, it's, I mean, I've had people online, you know, Republican types, that think the BBC is owned. it's owned by the people, because everybody, we pay a license, and it's not for the BBC in particular. It's a license for having an appliance that can receive signals.
But see, you would be told
that's what the license is for.
But a Republican would tell you, Sue, that means that the UK is communist. That having to buy a license for a radio makes you a commie.
Well, you know, this is communism. I like it. That's all I can say. You know, it's the one thing that worries me over here is that we keep our governments keep trying to pick up on American ideas, and it worries me because they generally back more, you know, further back than what we've already got.
Oh yeah, the liberalism is a march forward, Sue. It's not a march backwards. It's forward thinking. It's optimistic. It looks to a better day.
Well, conservative, you know, it's, yeah, you're right. It is forward. It's the way forward.
Well, the thing is, though, there's, you know, so much of what you're dealing with in American so-called conservatism, Sue, is fear-based. It's fear of the poor. It's fear of the dark-skinned people. It's fear of women being able to control their own bodies. It's fear of what technology may bring. It's fear of stem cells. It's fear of it's fear of embryos. They are fear-driven, and they think that if they can just drag America back into the past a little bit, that everything will be all better. And it won't be. There's only one way to go into the future, and that's boldly.
Well, yeah, I was listening to Mike Molloy earlier filling in for Randy, and some guy phoned up and something about the that those that are fearful are those that are brave aren't free,
mm-hmm.
And those that are fearful are free. But it's a play on. You know, the land of the brave and the free.
Right,
and
exactly.
The way that he works it out is the people that actually stand up. He said the brave aren't free because they stand up and they get up.
I understand.
You know, It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, we live in America is upside down right now, Sue. That's all there is to it. I want to get to another phone call. Thank you so much. It's always so good to hear from you, and nice.
That's okay.
And
thanks for sorting out the echo.
Oh, absolutely. And Sue, thank you so much for letting us know that the UK hasn't gone communist in the last couple of hours.
Well, all I know is if this is communism, it's good. So there you go.
All right. Thank you so much, Sue, and a very good morning.
It's okay.
Bye now.
And you too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's see. We got to sort out a couple of buttons here. This was, you got to go there, dear. There, honey.
Gotcha.
Okay, no. Okay, we're all right. Okay, we're squared away. Gerard is with us from Indiana. Hey, Gerard, you're head on.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for waiting.
I want to commend you on your patience with David there. Others, I think, like Mike Malloy, probably would have cut him off, or it wouldn't have taken his call to begin with. And I just commend you that you were able to.
Well, David,
a conversation with him. Sometimes the thing about that, I categorically disagree with about everything he said, but I fundamentally support his right to say it.
Well, that's kind of life as a liberal, isn't it, Gerard?
Yeah.
In the spirit of full disclosure, I should probably say that David and I have a history. He's been listening to my program since I was filling in for Dr. Bill O'Brien on his program three years ago now in Beckley. So David and I have gone round and round a few times, and we've reached a sort of an entente. But moreover, Gerard, I will attempt the dialogue with someone from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't particularly had it yet, but when somebody, it'll happen as the show grows, somebody at Freeperville will find out about it and decide to come on and be all monkey-like,
mm-hmm,
and get nasty and mean and ugly and hateful like they are.
Mm-hmm.
And those people I have no mercy for.
Yeah.
But I will attempt to have the discussion because there are people out. I can't blame too much folks in the middle class who have been bombarded by right-wing blather for 25 years for thinking that that's correct, because my party wasn't even in the fight, Gerard. We weren't in the fight. We were snobs about it. We thought it was we thought it was beneath us to get into the talk radio fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard you mention that before, and I agree with you. I mean, I think one thing, and in reference to the guest you had on earlier about the rocket fuel issue, I really am one who is starting to believe that we got to start doing things locally.
Yeah.
And I've had a little bit of experience with that already. I mean, I've gone to... It was kind of interesting. I've gone to a couple of the vigils around here against the war, and one was MoveOn.org thing, and I just got talking with a fellow standing next to me who happened to be a professor. I live near Notre Dame University. He's a professor there, and he is running against, in this district, he is going to run against the Democratic candidate who ran against Chris Ciccola, who is currently my representative, who is on the Tom DeLay gravy train.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't known this about this candidate who this guy was running against, but he was for the war. And I'm just getting to a point where there's you know, you're mentioning Robert Byrd, you know, there's a lot of candidates, or even locally and nationally, that, you know, the Hillary Clintons, the Joe Bidens, the Liebermans, this is the issue for me. You know,
the war.
I have other ones.
Yeah, the war isn't. Yeah, the war is absolutely. I don't know how it could not be an issue. And yet, again, we come back to these so-called DLC strategists. And guess what? They're going to be running the presidential campaigns in 2008, and they're going to say things like, "We can't." And by 2008, it'll change. There's every chance in the world that we're going to start pulling troops out one way or the other in order to save the Republicans' bacon in the next year or so. So in 2008, the question is going to be asked, well, how do you feel about the war on Iran?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're going to get...
And I agree with the other caller, too, that it's going to be about labor.
Yeah.
We're just destroying our country just by not... we got to get out there. We got to organize. We got to do it locally.
Can I ask a personal question? Are you organized? I mean, are you a member of a labor organization?
I have been in. I'm not currently in a union now. I have been in unions in the past. I guess, you know, especially after, you know, I've had kind of some vague ranklings in my head about this, but especially after your guest tonight, I mean, I manage a produce department for a retail chain, and, you know, guess where this is Indiana, so guess where our strawberries are coming from.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Rocket fuel country.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're never...
Well, so it gets to a point where you kind of have a moral crisis and think...
Yeah, Gerard, you're never going to look at a case of lettuce the same way again.
No.
Honest to God, I quit having, you know, you go for the sub or whatever, and you want lettuce on it? No. No, I really, really don't.
But, yeah, we just got to start... doing it, and it doesn't have to. People think they have to do big things.
Yeah, you're right.
Not
it's,
everybody can be a Cindy Sheehan.
No, but what everybody can do is little stuff.
Right.
I would suggest to you, I don't know what West Virginia's perchlorate standard is. I don't know if we have one. And I certainly don't know about Indiana's, but one phone call on each of our parts will find that out, and that will set out a starting place for us, won't it?
Sure. We had a thing here not too long ago last year, and I need to look up and kind of research it more, but we had a small group of citizens who they wanted to put about 20 miles from my house, they wanted to put a coal gasification plant, you know, a huge multinational one to come in and do this.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, first, you know, they wanted to see what kind of environmental impact it would have.
Yep.
And they wanted, you know, and get testimony on that. And because we're already, in this part of the world, we're already experiencing some things, you know, health things from basically pollution that blows over the lake from Chicago.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people are concerned about it. And it was a small group of people, and it's been held up now. You know, I don't know. I'm sure they'll try to find some way around it. But
I hope they don't.
Going back to the perchlorate again, I mean, if you look at a bigger picture, you know, people who are involved in water rights,
mm-hmm.
One of the big fights they have out on the West Coast is they've got these multinationals now who basically think they ought to, commodify water, the basis of life everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're doing this desalinization where they're, you know, shipping it from California to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, you know, they got you coming and going. They're,
well, it, you know, it amazes.
On one end, they're polluting your water and then trying to sell you back the good stuff.
No, I know. You know, my water bill goes to Germany, Gerard. It really does. Thanks so much for ringing in. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
And like I said, you know, you'll never look at that case of lettuce again.
There you go.
All right. You take care now.
See you soon.
Bye now.
Bye.
You know, that is something that's worth doing for all of us. I'm going to find out tomorrow if West Virginia has a perchlorate standard. We know Massachusetts's is 1, California's is 6 parts per billion. I got a good guess. Our buddy Gerard in Indiana is going to find out if Indiana has one. Can you find out if there's one in Alabama? Can you find out if there's one in Tennessee? Can you find out if there's one in North Carolina or Virginia or Kentucky? All the states where we have listeners. You'll blow somebody's mind just by calling your state DEP and asking. They don't get questions like that in Montana. They don't get questions like that in North Dakota. They don't get questions like that in Minnesota. You'll blow their minds. You'll make their day. Be nice to somebody. Give them a call. Speaking of calls, Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Oh, I'm doing real good. Just for the record, I'm a member of a union.
Yes, you are.
Carpenters Union. Part of, you know, proud to be part of the people that helped put you on the air.
Yes, indeed.
Very proud.
Absolutely. I over and over again, Wayne, I make note that this wouldn't happen. This would not happen without the carpenters and millwrights of West Virginia.
Well, you know, and I'm sure they're going to continue to support you. But on another matter, and, you know, David's phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being from Beckley and, you know, remembering the other, you know, old days and stuff. And there still is a radio show on here. It's rather right-wing, but.
Yeah.
Well, rather, it's right-wing.
Yeah. Makes Hitler look like a liberal. Yeah,
you know. Well, the other day I went on that show and I confessed it to you the other night that, and you know, I wanted to know why these people weren't upset that the government made this deal on Medicaid or Medicare that they could not negotiate a bulk price for the prescription drugs.
Yeah, that's socialism.
And pointed out that, you know, in the Veterans Administration has the right to negotiate and, you know, to get bulk prices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Veterans Administration could get a prescription of Lipitor for a year for one of its people for $225 or $250. That same thing is going to cost Medicare $1,350. And, I mean, you know, I got done with my phone call, and David came on and told everybody that I was a socialist. I was against profits. I was against companies making profits and blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, how that all came about, I don't really understand the reasoning. I mean, you know, all working people realize that the company they work for has to make a profit or
no job.
Have a job.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's not, you don't have to be all that smart to figure that out. But then, you know, I got done and I was listening to the show and, you know, after David called me a socialist and I was against profits, then somehow or another the conversation went to West Virginia's Promise Scholarship.
Right. That's a program that gives college tuition in-state to children who have a 3.0 average and a certain ACT score.
Exactly. And I think it's a wonderful program.
Yeah, without regard to family income.
Exactly. I think that's a wonderful program. I think that, you know, that ought to be given to anybody that wants to go to college in this country that can maintain grades and all that, they shouldn't have to worry about and you know, put themselves in a great amount of debt.
Right.
But the guy, the host of the show, wanted to change the way Promise Scholarship was in that. Well, then David argued with him because David's son is going to start college, and he's getting the Promise Scholarship. He's getting a Pell Grant. He's getting this grant and that grant that's going to pay for 85. I mean, he's only up to 85% of his son's, you know, total cost of college.
Yeah, thank God those programs are there. They should there shouldn't even be a question. That 15% shouldn't even be a question in my mind.
Well, I mean, what I want to know from David is how come it's okay for taxpayers to pay for his son's college education, but it's not okay to pay for health care?
I can't answer that.
I mean, in his thinking, is paying for his son's college socialist?
Well, you know, that's the state doing it with taxpayer money.
I mean, that's kind of the way I think, and I hope he's still listening. I'd like him to call back and explain that to me, what the difference is. I mean, is it just because it's his son?
Okay, well, David has chatted in with us, and he says the part about calling you a socialist, he says that wasn't him.
That wasn't.
Okay.
Okay.
But there was, yeah. I mean, I think
I'm not going to argue. I don't.
Yeah, I think David's boy is heading off to college, and you know what? I want anybody that is willing to do the work in college to be able to go there.
I do too, and I'm more than willing to pay taxes to afford that. You know.
Yeah.
So has he explained the difference?
No.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted.
That's okay.
You know.
No.
Oh, wait.
I mean, I find it rather ironic.
Wait a minute. Oh, education is a right.
It's a right?
Yeah, education is a right.
But health care isn't.
I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I'm extrapolating a negative from a positive, but yeah, education is a right.
Well, hopefully, you know, we got another half hour. Maybe we'll get an explanation.
Okay.
I mean, I just want to know, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a reasonable question to ask.
I'm with you, Wayne. Health care is a right.
Well,
I think it's not.
Well, you can't get much of an education if you're dying.
I'm a socialist.
If
David didn't call me a socialist, three or four other people did.
Well, it's
and
not.
And I would bet he agreed with them.
It's not even being a socialist. It's being a humanist.
Yeah.
You know, being treated like a human and having health care and having an education. If people want a stronger America, then it looks like that they would want those things, because you have to be healthy in order to go and get an education and to go to work, because what kind of worker do you have when they're sick? You have one that's not there.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
where
pretty,
they are.
That's pretty simple math. Exactly. Well, Wayne, I sure do appreciate it. We got to hit that break.
Okay, buddy. Have a good evening.
All right, you take care now.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. And we will be back after the break. A little bit of time left if you want to get your licks in. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Whoa, that was loud, honey. Nah, didn't need that eardrum anyway. Having a great time tonight. This is Head On. And, of course, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and here's one of my recent rants on George Bush.
He's living an opposite world. It's like everything that he says, it's just completely the opposite to reality. Okay, he says that the low level of public support for his policies in Iraq showed that the public had been distracted from achievements made in that country by images of violence on the news. So he's blaming the news. He's blaming the news for reporting the freaking truth. Rather than his propaganda, which he likes to catapult. All right. Well, I just wanted to deviate from the Alito stuff because I think it's pretty important to remember how stupid the president is. You know, because you know we need to know how stupid he is, right?
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation.
I asked Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, or the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
Join me, Bruce Birch, every Sunday evening, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, as we point out the stupidity of the Bush regime. AllThingsReconsidered.org.
Welcome back. We do get a dialogue started when the occasional conservative calls the program. Let me run to the email real quick. Here we go. No, that's not it. I got to learn to drive this thing better. We got an email from our friend Sue on Big Coal River. She says, "Dear Bob, usually I don't comment on other people on your show." And she says, I'm quoting here, okay? She says, "But this guy's an idiot. In the last 4 years, my son's tuition at a state-owned college has more than doubled. We pay as much as $500 a semester for books. He works to help out. Not everyone can afford to go to college. Where we live, the first thing you need is a car, even before tuition. My husband has a college degree. He works as a boss at a union mine. After 30-plus years of service and a promise of health care when they retired, the bosses were told a couple of years ago, 'Sorry, no health care after you retire.' The company broke itself up into smaller companies, so when the coal runs out, they can bankrupt, and there go the pensions. Not everything that happens can be laid at our own doorstep, especially when you have a government that favors business over people. He doesn't realize that David doesn't realize how much rent, insurance, food, heat, and medication costs. And I'm going to try to give is what Sue says down on Big Coal River. Thanks, Sue. And see this idea that liberal talk is somehow failing because we're not giving people this rosy, shiny vision of America where everybody's equal and lives for 1,000 years. We don't. We should, among other things, you know, I talk about it being conversation radio, and I'm very, very sincere about that. But the other thing I can't remember. I've got friends who have gone through 12-step programs. And one of them mentioned once that when you walked into one room, you saw a sign on the wall that said "Reality spoken here." So you know, maybe we missed the frame again. Because you listen to Sean Hannity, you listen to Flush Flimbaugh, O'Reilly, the dude that wanted to rub a woman down with falafel. That ain't right. That ain't reality radio. When some guy's babbling into a microphone, hopped up out of his head on OxyContin, and sending his mate out to buy him on the streets, that ain't reality radio. When Sean Hannity criticizes Hollywood liberals for opining on politics in America, and some of those Hollywood liberals have 4-year degrees or law degrees and things like that, and he dares criticize them and never even got out of high school? That's not reality radio. So I guess I got another liner to write when the show is over tonight. This is reality radio. And the fact of the matter is, America is not a happy place right now. Am I angry about it? You're damned right I'm angry about it. America went from a country that was willing to defend itself when attacked and offer its largesse to the entire world when at peace to being a nation that will attack anything smaller than it is. That is not happy America. I don't like talking about bummer stuff and downer stuff, but you know what? If somebody doesn't talk about it, no one will know about it. And we have to know about it. You, me, us, we have to know about it before we can even begin to fix it. And see, that's the other thing. Conservatives, Republicans, are not going to fix America. They have shown us that. They showed us that for 12 years under Reagan and the first Bush and ran up a debt that we thought could never be exceeded in the history of the nation. And then along came Bill Clinton, whom many of you don't care much for, but the fact of the matter is, whatever he screwed up on, at least the babies that were born in the Clinton administration didn't have $40,000 worth of debt hanging around their neck. A baby born tonight, the baby being born this instant somewhere in the United States of America, has in excess of $40,000 just to be an American in debt. And they never asked for that debt. George Bush and the Republican crony Congress gave them that debt. And George Bush and the Republican crony Congress were enabled by people who call themselves conservatives and call themselves Republicans and say they love this nation when they do not. So I have to talk about the things that are going awry in this nation. Do you know why I have to? I have to because I gotta fix it. You gotta fix it. Wayne's gotta fix it. Gerard's gotta fix it. CB's gotta fix it. Rick's gotta fix it. The people who proudly call themselves liberals and progressives in this country have to fix it because the conservatives, by God, will not. They will drive this country into the ground and giggle all the way there. Now, you can call that hate if you want to. It isn't reality spoken here. And that's all it is. It's reality. Let's go to the phones. Peter, Tallahassee, you're going to have to fix it too, buddy.
Hey, Bob. Bobby, you were so right, and the point that Wayne brought up about David's son being educated using public education, and the mindset is the problem. The mindset of the Republicans are if it's good for me, if it's something that's helping me, then it is just fine. But if it helps somebody else and doesn't benefit me directly, then there's something wrong with it. It's a selfish and self-centered and egocentric and evil mindset.
Yeah. You and I often talk about Christian issues. It's not a Christian mindset.
Oh, no, not by any means. Not by any means. And one doesn't even have to be a Christian to see the error in that. Well, one just has to have to be awake. It's far from anything that Jesus ever taught. One of the reasons I was calling too is Rick mentioned earlier the thing about TB mm-hmm. in the jails,
yeah.
And about threatening people with going to jail where they'd be exposed to things like that. I wanted to tell you a little story about how jails in Florida anyway handle that. People come in who are a lot of drug addicted people who come to jail, and of course they've been either living on the streets or living in a way they don't take care of themselves. And many people do come in with TB, just a fact. Now, what they do is that people are immediately put in with the general population, and it's sometimes a month or so after they arrive before a TB test is given.
Oh God!
It takes a few days, of course, for the results to come up. It's a little skin a skin test, where it makes a little bump if you have. I don't know exactly how it works.
I've had a TB skin test.
Yeah, and what happens if they turn up positive? They get moved out of the general population down to medical. But there is absolutely no word given to anyone in the general population where they were, or anyone who was happened to be locked up in the same cell with them. And New people, you know, the jails are overcrowded, so new people come in very, very regularly. Like within hours, that cell will be filled with another person.
Right.
There's no word to the person who moves into that cell. The person they just moved out a few hours earlier tested positive for TB. It's up to the inmates through word of mouth, you know, with people who work in medical to find out, you know, why someone was moved out. And it's up to the inmates to tell the new guy who just moved into the cell the other one moved out of to, you know, they need to go ahead and scrub it down with bleach and clean the thing and make sure that it's clean. You know, but the officers will not provide that information. It's not only do jails breed crime, it's a crime university.
Yeah.
They breed more illnesses, too.
Yeah, you go in there, you do get an opportunity to learn to be a better criminal, Peter.
Yeah, and they just don't give a damn. They really just don't give a damn. And the thing about it is, too, is a lot of people who are in jails are not sentenced. They're not even... They're just people that can't afford their bond, maybe.
We have a real problem in this state, Peter. We have something called a regional jail system. We have eliminated for the most... I think by now we've done it all. We've eliminated all of our county jails, and we have these things called regional jails, and the counties are charged a per diem basis, like anywhere from $30 to $50 a day to house prisoners. And, you know, if you get... You know, if the game warden comes along in deer season and you're some poor schlub who just happened to shoot within 500 feet of a dwelling and he hauls you in and you don't have bail, you're in the regional jail.
Yes.
And you're not getting out.
Yes, that's the mindset. People who are in jails, they're not by a long shot are they guilty. They're just people who happen to be being held in jail.
Right.
Now these regional jails you're talking about, are they privately owned? Is it like corporate?
No, they are ostensibly managed by the state, but then things like food service are farmed out and medical services are farmed out, and they are nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah, they're nightmares, all right. As I've explained before,
they've got people. I'm sorry, Peter, I didn't mean to cut you off, but they've got people in the regional jail systems. It's so bad in West Virginia that they commingle people who are, you know, the guy who just couldn't make bail, he can be in the same pod with a guy who has been convicted of murder and is waiting transport to the state penitentiary.
Oh, yes, hell yes. I saw a lot of that. I've made it clear that I've been down that path, and I've seen it every day. Talked a lot that there, you know, a fellow came through Tallahassee and basically did some axe murders, he was sentenced to three or four counts of life and then moved back to a prison somewhere in Nevada. Long story, but yeah, we were all just sitting around right next to him. Yeah, there's no separation of the ones who have been charged and found guilty or the ones who are just waiting on bond, or the ones that can't afford bond. There's no separation at all, and just very little thought given. The medical care in the jails is a very, very scary thing.
It's de minimis. It's abysmal. Oddly enough, Rick mentioned Florida in regard to the healthcare system. I think the Florida healthcare system was modeled on the Florida penal healthcare system.
Yeah,
and it's the lowest common denominator toward which we're all being driven. That's what I don't understand about so-called middle class Republicans or middle class conservatives. How can you sit there and know that this is, you know, the system that you're propping up and saying that, you know, socialized medicine, that's socialism. Why would you give a damn what kind of name you baptize it with when you know that your kid is, you know, I was bulletproof when I was 20, Peter. I'm 43 now, and everything hurts. You know what I mean?
I understand.
How can you hand this system off to your kid and say, you know, best of luck?
Well, yes. The word social and socialism has demonized. It's a perfectly good word. Hell, I'm a socialist. I believe in social. I believe in social causes. I believe in the socialization of people.
Follow the world's first socialist, Peter.
Well, socialism does not mean communism. It never has.
No, I read the text. I'm, you know, this is, you know, we're not leaping into the prayer meeting edition early. No. But I read the sayings of Yeshua and the teachings of Yeshua, and as far as I can tell, dude was a socialist.
Of course he was.
Dude was a liberal.
So, of course he was. and he was killed by the state.
You know, because right, because there's nothing in Adam Smith about do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's nothing in Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations about if you did it unto the least of these, you did it also unto me. It ain't there.
Nope, it's not there, not a word of it.
Love your neighbor as yourself is not in Adam Smith.
That's right.
It's in the world's first socialist tract.
Yeah. Yes, and the mindset is if it benefits me, that's great. If it doesn't benefit me, there must be something wrong with it because I am the norm and I am the standard by which everyone else should be judged. So if it doesn't benefit me, it must be benefiting bad people.
God,
pure evil.
Oh, see, that's what happens, Peter. We lost the Soviet Union, and I always figured that the night that the Berlin Wall came down, that George Bush Sr. was sitting somewhere just weeping. Who do we hate now? Because the Republican Party cycles on hate.
Well, it does. That's an absolute fact it does.
They were scared to death of the peace dividend, and that's, how long was it after the so-called fall of communism before we decided to start hating George H.W. Bush's drug-running buddy Manuel Noriega?
Well, that's true.
And we were no sooner done with Noriega than, Panama didn't take any time. Oh, God, who now? Didn't we sell that dude over in Iraq some poison gas? Him.
Well, it's also interesting to note that they are all for the dissolving separation of church and state and making this a Christian nation as long as you stick with the Old Testament God and it's punishment and eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And, but as long as Jesus is left out of it, man, they are all for a Christian nation.
No.
But don't you let any of Jesus' teachings slip into it.
No,
that all goes to hell. Then you're a socialist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, there is not one falsehood in anything you've just said, Peter.
Well, I'm just damn fed up with them. And,
but I want to reach, honest to God, I wish there was some way that people, so-called middle-class conservatives could hear about this show, because I want to reach out to them. I enjoy my conversations with David.
I know you did.
I want to reach out. I want to help people understand that they're being had. I have a real love for my fellow man, and when I see someone being abused, I want to stop the abuse. Whether it's domestic abuse, spousal abuse, kiddie abuse, or political abuse, I want the middle class in this country, Peter, to stop being abused. And I understand that there's a psychological dynamic involved there where, the Stockholm syndrome, where the abused begins to associate with the abuser or identify with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and that's most of middle class America that's been suckered in by all of this hateful Republican hate speech that's taken place since the first day Flush Flimball went on the air.
Yeah, there have been scientific experiments involving human beings who are put in the position of shocking other human beings. Of course, they thought that they were delivering them electrical shocks and greater intensity. Yeah, you've probably read about.
Yeah, so. And as long as the people thought that they had authoritarian clearance to do so, they were willing to up those shocks until they reached a toxic limit.
Exactly. As long as there was someone who they perceived to be a scientist or a politician or a president, just to give you some alternative words there, as long as there was somebody higher up, quote, that was endorsing it, then it must be right.
Well, Peter, I have to wonder where the light, what it is that turns the light on. In my more pessimistic moments, I've said that the lights will go on just like they went on when ordinary folks started getting all Richard Corey and seeing the dudes in the silk suits out on the ledges jumping. That then they realized there was a problem.
Good old Richard Corey. Great vision there. Great picture.
Thank you very much. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case. I hated it when Mr. Walker told us earlier this evening that it costs tens of thousands of dollars to find out if you've been poisoned by perchlorate. Because, if I go to Joe Conservative and I say, look, I want a vial of your little two-year-old baby's blood. Okay, and you come back and you say your baby is already poisoned with perchlorate, and you did that to your baby by voting Republican. Would the lights go on then?
Lord Bob, I don't know, but you have made some good points about opening a dialogue, and the longer I listen to you, the more I'm beginning to catch on to your vision, and
I've got a vision.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's pretty horrifying.
Would you put it in an email, or is it too potent?
Poor Agnes. But I'm thinking maybe, you know, mentioning this, your program, to more conservative people is not a bad idea. Introducing it as a way to dialogue, to call in and talk with people and discuss the issues and not get hung up on.
Yeah, I kind of want to do for conservatives what the deprogrammers did for the Moonies.
Well, my God, you have a calling, dude, because there's nobody else doing it.
They get to meet first,
Well, you know, but no, I mean, seriously, because I don't want, you know from 12-step programs, right, Peter?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
I didn't say you're in one, but I mean, you've seen one or two, probably.
Sure, I've been right up in there.
Well, you know how they say that you got to bottom out and everything absolutely has to go to hell in a handcar and you got to be at the very bottom and finally you look up and go, I need help?
Well, they do say that, but they also say the elevator is going down and you can get off on any floor you want.
Well, that's my point. That's my point, Peter. I don't want to see America wallowing in misery. I don't want to see 1929 again, but 1929 is going to look like a day in the damn park if we don't do something pretty quick.
Well, that's interesting. I think you may have moved me to begin mentioning this to more conservative people, because God knows I'm surrounded by a hell of a lot more than them.
You're in Florida, brother.
And people who are more open-minded. And, you know, certainly couldn't hurt. I mean, you know, they know I'm the eccentric kid down the dirt road anyway. I don't think there's a lot more I could do to scare them.
Well, we know what you did with the CDs the other night. So,
yeah, I did that. Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot I could do.
Thy reputation precedes thee. Peter, thanks so much. We got to knock off. We're about done for the night.
Okay, but, take care.
I always enjoy our calls.
I enjoy you too. Good night, y'all.
Bye now. It is almost done. Is it worth the effort? I mean, you remember a couple of weeks ago, it was a month ago or so, I guess, when we got the really, really ugly email from the lady who, you know, why do you even talk to these people? You know what? I have a hard time considering them my fellow Americans, but you know, they're leading us down the primrose path to hell, and they're going to walk us into the crash, and they are going to, and you know, just as the New Testament says, they're going to cry out, Lord, Lord. But we're all going to the crash that they're taking us to, just like we're all committing the murders in the war that they started in Iraq. And if they're sitting there crying out, Lord, Lord, you can bet your ass you're going to be sitting there crying out, Lord, Lord, too. You might have a chance of someone answering, Lord, Lord. But we're all going to be there, and I'd just as soon not. We can stop this. Talk to people. I get so mad sometimes I could spit, and I know I do, and I know I frustrate people when I do. But there has got to be a way to reach out. There's got to be. There just has to. And, you know, we'll try. I'll be nice to anybody. I was raised to be nice. So we can at least give it a shot. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Randy Kerboy is our engineer. Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org. He maintains the stream of this program and the archives of this and many other wonderful liberal programs, all of whom are still viable and going concerns. He's got a fundraiser going on. Do remember, Bruce Birch announced our news for us, and we appreciate that. And the most important part, this happens every night because of dedicated men and women of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're rebuilding America and building the American dream, and always, 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 RMR. It's all for you.